about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Okay, then. This is the hour of our prominence. On my signal, charge!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Okay, the best pickup line I've ever heard was, "Hello, my name's Hugh Hefner."
I just sit in my house just piling all the narcotics into my body that I possibly can. Namely, ketamine, nitrous oxide, PCP, cocaine, you know. And I just get all kinds of results.
How much you selling that weed for, old man?
Yeah, dude.
Does anybody have any drugs?
Yeah, dude.
When, you know, life looks at you funny, take the fast lane.
And now,
Omar Khan facing 69 felony counts.
Yeah, Eric.
Our feature presentation.
He has been in some trouble, that Omar Khan.
Yeah, Eric.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Wednesday morning.
All right. So, Kevin, you get to be the guy who decides, all right?
Wow. That's rare for you to...
Every once in a while, I like to see how the news would work out if you were in charge.
All right.
So you get your choice. They come to you and they go, "Well, we got this body in the cabin up there at Big Bear. We don't know who it is yet. It has not been ID'd. Haven't had a chance. And we think it's Dorner. It's probably Dorner. Might not be Dorner. Not sure if it's Dorner. But you get to choose. Is it Dorner or is it Beer Mug?
How dare you!
Wow.
How right? dare you!
I mean, that's like, come which on, kid Kevin. Which kid do you like best? I mean, what do you do with that? It could be Dorner, and that could end, you know, the terror of Southern California for the past 8 or 9 days. But it could be Beer Mug, and then we're free. We get that out of the way.
I can't have both?
Oh. No, it's got to be one or the other. Who's worse?
Dorner killed people.
Dorner killed 4 people.
2 cops.
Beer Mug killed comedy.
Oh. Beer Mug's killed our show.
Killed our show, right? Killed our reason to live.
I still got to go Dorner, I think.
Yeah. Really?
I think. Wow. But it's like... 51% to 49%.
It is close. Well, it doesn't look like it's Beer Mug, unfortunately, because he is here today. But how much of that did you watch yesterday?
I didn't watch much of it at all.
You just caught up on it later, yeah. Heard about it, and yeah. Caught up on it later?
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about this because we're talking about the, you know, the all day on television, the standoff and the, you know, the coverage. It goes on for hours and hours and hours with a few seconds here and there of just incredible intensity. And I guess it's kind of like how some people feel about baseball, like they could never watch a baseball game, but they don't mind seeing a great catch or a great hit on SportsCenter.
Yeah, the highlights are great.
Highlights are great, right. Yeah. It definitely went on for a long time, though, but it looks like it might be over. I mean, these maids went into a cabin in Big Bear to clean it, and he was there. And they tied, you know, he tied them up and then took a car and then drove away and then got into an altercation with an officer and then carjacked another car, kicked a guy and his dog out, and then ran that one into a ditch and then ran off into the woods. I mean, it was like, we're talking to Bruce Willis later, it was like watching one of his movies or something.
Well,
just
I got
insane.
I tell you, I don't say this often, but I'm glad he's dead.
Yeah, if he's in there, that's that would be the best case scenario, right? But you know, the firefight was just unbelievable. Did you see or hear anything about this reporter for Channel 2, Carter Evans?
No, I did not.
Oh, I got to play some tape of this for you. This is unbelievable. This is a guy who may be too close to the story, first of all, because he is practically on the ground while bullets are whizzing around him. And this is when those 2 San Bernardino officers were shot. One of them, unfortunately, ended up dying. The other one's still very seriously injured in the hospital. But he was right in the middle of the story. And I just can't believe how great this guy's coverage was all day long. I mean, give this man an Emmy or a Pulitzer or something. I mean,
what if you give him a Tony?
In that situation, to be able to still be on the phone and doing live reports while you're basically worried that you're going to get shot, here's a little bit of this. Carter Evans is his name. He's with Channel 2.
And it appears that the gun battle that so many people had feared would happen when they did locate Christopher Dorner is unfolding right now in Big Bear. And Carter Evans, it looks like you're right in the middle of it. Is that someone yelling in the background, Carter?
Yeah, we got authorities yelling at us to get out of here, but we don't know where to go, frankly, to tell you the truth.
Well, I see authorities, and I'm going to have to speak quieter now because I had to go on the speakerphone, but I see authorities honing in on an area on a cabin that is about 200 feet ahead of us right now. I see a lot of these authorities, again, moving to take cover themselves.
Oh,
All right, this is not what he signed up for.
Well, I don't know. You think he's one of those guys like Chuck Henry did with the fires that just ignored the authorities and went where he wasn't supposed to go? Or do you think he really did, like, wander into the wrong place and then find himself not able to get back out?
That's a great question. I don't know how he ended up getting so close if he wasn't aware he was going to be so close to the story when the gunfire broke out.
I have to whisper. I'm inside the cabin.
Sounds like a video game, doesn't it?
Yeah. I hear some screaming. You heard all that gunfire.
That was gunfire.
I see a team of sheriff's deputies in full-on fatigues with weapons drawn running towards us right now. We are down on the ground behind the wheels of our car right now with the doors open. I'm talking to you on the speakerphone. We are right in the center of the action here.
Unbelievably calm, though, right?
Oh, my God. I would have already pooped myself and ran in that order.
Yeah, it's just crazy. We got some more tape from that from later on, but it was incredible. And then, you know, and I guess they're thinking the way it ended is, you know, the cabin started to burn. They saw that a fire broke out, and then they heard a gunshot, and it's assumed at this point maybe that Dorner might have taken his own life. But I think they just let it burn. And I guess they're getting in there this morning at daylight and pulling it out and starting the DNA. But crazy end to a story. Crazy end.
I pooped my pants.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's crazy. But hopefully it ended that way. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
If you want to vote no, that's your choice.
Okay. Adam Carolla will be on the show, though.
Yeah.
With This Week in Rage. Always funny. We have bad Valentine's gifts. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. And it seems like a lot of guys really do honestly try and fail miserably. So,
and a lot of girls expect too much.
Okay, agreed.
I'm just saying, that's happening too.
But maybe some cautionary tales today.
Telling you, there are guys that are going to go out that are going to do flowers and candy, which is what they think their lady wants, and their lady is going to be extremely disappointed because it's boring.
I don't think it's that many, but anyway, we'll take your calls and we'll learn what not to do at the very least. Also on today's show, we have Malcolm Freeberg, who is on Survivor Karamoan.
That's not a real place.
Wherever that is, it's a fan versus favorite episode. We have Bruce Willis, speaking of that movie star, talking about It's a Good Day to Die Hard.
Terrible title.
It's not a great title. we're going to qualify you for that trip for two to Buenos Aires, Argentina, to see The Killers with K-Rock's World Tour 2013, destination number 5. We're going to do that. And coming up just after the top of the hour, we have Thanks for That Info Bean.
Oh, come on.
So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with a rough showbiz beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
They won't go away if we, you know, keep giving them Grammys all the time. I'm just saying, that's not the way to get fun out of your life.
Why do you want them to go away?
I don't want fun to go away.
I'm
like fun. What? Of the bands we play?
What a surprise. Bean hates fun.
What?
What a surprise. That's a shocker. Bean hates fun.
He's not even thinking about the music. He just hates the word.
He just can't bear that there's anything fun-related that's out there.
That didn't even occur to me. If the band were called Death, I would probably love it. It would probably be my favorite album of the year.
Same music,
Excellent point. All right, 5:55. It's Wednesday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Probably where you are, too. And time for the first look at the showbiz beat. Morning, Ralph.
Babies continue to be Hollywood's hottest accessory this season. Everybody's having them. I think I'm going to have one. You know, not with my wife. I'm just going to have one.
Just have one?
Oh, yeah. I see. All right.
I think you could pick them up at Kitson.
No, I want to have it naturally.
Oh.
I want a baby to come out of my urethra. I'm a small baby.
That's
a terrible idea. Little baby.
That's
the worst idea you've ever had.
Maybe like a sea monkey then instead of a baby.
Better.
Babies come out of the butt, right?
No. Jamie Lynn Sigler of The Sopranos is reportedly pregnant, expecting her first child with her fiancé, Cutter Dykstra. Is Cutter a son of Lenny, do we know? Is it Nails' kid?
Oh, I don't know.
Sure don't know.
Yeah. Apparently they announced their engagement a couple weeks ago via Instagram. Well, that's the most romantic way to do it. And now, suddenly, they're going to have a kid. So, I wonder if one played into the other or not. We'll have to wait and see. Penelope Cruz and Javier Bardem are also expecting their second child. Couple's tremendously happy. They already have a son together named Leo. God bless these people. Naming a kid Leo. Just a name. Just a kid's name. Boom. Right there, Leo.
But they're celebrities. They're supposed to name him something effed up.
Name him for Micah or Microdot or anything like that. Just Leo. And this was the big surprise. This was the big shocker. Steve Martin.
What?
Became a first-time dad in December. We're just finding out about this. He and his wife, Ann Stringfield, who's 41, by the way, welcomed a child in December.
What?
Steve Martin, 67-year-old comedian.
Wow.
Steve Martin, having his first child in December. No word on the sex or the name. Steve is very private, famously. So we may never know. They may that kid may never see the light of day. May be raised in a Petri dish someplace.
I don't know much about his private life. Like you say, it's pretty secret. But time you're 65, aren't you pretty much set? I mean, don't you go, okay, well, if I don't have kids, I'm not going to have kids.
This is pretty much my life. This is the way I'm going to live out my life.
Right.
From this point on. At 65, that is sort of where you got things nailed down.
What a curveball that must have been.
That's a small subset of people who have their first kid after age 65, that's for sure.
I am a long way from 67 years old, but I've got almost a 3-year-old at home, and I am going to die.
Yeah. Yeah, so imagine if you were, 40 years older.
I have not been well rested in 3 years.
Yeah.
And at 67, I can't imagine. Unless it's one of the situations where you just get a team of Swedish nannies just to take care of everything.
Right. That's the way to do it.
You wave to the kid as you go past the nursery or something.
Well, you know what this means is Steve Martin is hitting the road. That's what this means. He's going back out. He's going to do every date he gets offered.
I'll do stand-up, sure. Yeah, in Dayton in December, I'll be there.
Wichita, you bet. Strange big tour for Steve Martin. He doesn't tour that much anymore.
Wait, he's making another movie? What?
Well, we can say goodbye to our dreams, our hopes, our wishes that all six actors that played James Bond would be on stage at the same time at the Oscars this year. Still no idea whether the producers plan to go ahead with that or not. But we know for sure, according to TMZ.com, when they caught up with Pierce Brosnan in Malibu, that they will be missing one, in the words of Pierce Brosnan. He will not be involved or contribute in any way if they do
that.
Is
he bitter in some way? Or?
I think he's a little cranky.
Is he?
He's a little cranky. I believe he thinks that he could have gone on with the series.
Oh, and they replaced him.
And they replaced
too
him
early.
With Daniel Craig. Yeah. Because listen, Roger Moore was doing it into his 70s.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, ridiculously, don't get me wrong, but Pierce Brosnan's still a very vital, vibrant dude. I think he could have pulled it off. But
he still looks great. He still looks like he could play Bond.
But how long's it been since he's been Bond? I mean, isn't
10
this
years, probably? I guess,
Isn't this a little petty?
Look, I don't know.
How much later?
I don't tell people how to hold their grudges, man. Don't tell me how to hold mine.
I will tell you that at the time, I agreed with him that it was a terrible decision because he was a great James Bond, and as you said, Ralph, was still very vital, was excellent. Those movies were really good.
Yeah.
But in retrospect, they made the right choice because the Daniel Craig one ensures that it's going to be around for a long time because they just reinvented it in a new direction, and they're even better.
Yeah, reinvigorated the series. Absolutely. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Stockard Channing, what a great actress. You know her as the president's, the first lady on the West Wing, of course, for many seasons. She was Rizzo in the movie Grease. I mean, has had a long, distinguished career on stage as well as film. 69 years old today. Jerry Springer! Jerry!
Jerry!
Jerry! He's 69 as well today. You guys done?
Yeah.
With the snickering? Henry Rollins!
I don't know, you done with 69?
Black Flag fame, and he's a spoken word artist, radio personality, 52 years old. Kelly Hu! From The Vampire Diaries and Martial Law, she's 45 years old. Singer Robbie Williams is 39.
69.
No, he's 39 years old today. Mina Suvari from American Beauty and American Pie. She only makes movies with American in the
That's
title.
That's true.
Very odd. She was Feifel in American Tale. She's 34 years old today. And Stephen Coletti from Laguna Beach. And One Tree Hill, he is 27 years old today.
What are you going to do for 69?
I'll probably turn opposite my partner's direction.
Okay, no.
What?
I don't think rhetorical.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
K-Rock's World Tour 2013 Destination Number 5 is a little band called The Killers in Buenos Aires, Argentina, which, Kevin, that's right there by Portugal, right? Isn't it? Argentina?
Dare you? Yes, I used to think that.
Wow.
Got plenty of chances for you to qualify by getting on the standby boarding list throughout the day here at K-Rock. And, of course, at 9:10 every morning this week, you get a chance to win the Killers album Battleborn and also be in the same grand prize drawing. Details at KROQ.com.
Time for
Fetch That Info Bean.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Why do we keep doing this
Because
feature?
You keep running off at the mouth, and we need it to stop. We keep trying to... Bean has Asperger's, and right. that means that he can't tell if the listeners, his audience that he's talking to, has any interest in what he's saying.
Because I come up with interesting topics at work. All of a sudden, I'm the bad guy?
Define interesting.
You define interesting.
All right, I will.
If you want to make this bit go away, Bean, there's a simple way for you to do it.
That's true.
Just shut the F up.
So while we're playing commercials and songs, Bean is, you know, trolling the internet or whatever, and he just brings stuff up just randomly. The rule is in the room, do not respond to him. He needs to hear silence. Maybe that'll help him understand we're not interested in these topics. And before we get into thanks for that info, Bean, this is something that I always forget to say. We don't need further clarification.
Right. Well, sometimes it's maybe not, you just don't understand how awesome.
No. We understand it fine. We're asking why in the world you would say it.
That's that info, Bean.
The temperature in Minneapolis right now is -7.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, don't you take for granted that that's true pretty much half the year?
Yeah.
In Minneapolis,
famously cold.
It sucks.
Yeah.
It's really cold, though.
And what am I supposed to do with that temperature information?
Be grateful that you are living someplace where it's 65.
So then Lisa says, that's cold. And then I say, Lisa, shut up.
Good for you, Kevin.
And then Bean says, hey! You know, he does when he's faking outrage.
Right.
That's cold. That's legitimate.
That is legitimate.
That's legitimate.
I stand by it.
Bean.
You're going to love this one the most, Ralph. The best radio station call letters in America.
Okay.
Now, you just have to understand, this is a category for no one but Bean.
It doesn't exist.
No one cares about radio station call letters. But Bean cares a lot about radio. The best radio station call letters in America has got to be WACO. No one said anything. It's in Waco. Nobody said anything. Actually, I've been to that station.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Nobody said anything.
I did visit Waco and Waco.
Nobody said anything. So he says I've been to the station. Then he follows that up with, when I was in Waco. Nobody said anything. Like, we didn't get it at that point.
How many times do you say Waco before you think we get it?
What you were talking about. And then he follows that. No one said anything. Then he follows that up with, see, the call letters are the same as the city.
Oh,
because how can you
that's
not be impressed
beam.
By that? Like, why don't
that's
you hear that
info
information and go, those are the best call letters in America?
Because I don't have that category. I don't care about call letters.
It but the station's
exist.
Name
so
is the
what?
Same as the...
Who cares?
I think it's awesome.
Can you imagine the people at Waco, the station, when
they don't
this
care.
Giant douchebag shows up and says, I want to tour your studio. They're like, what, are you effing kidding me?
Yeah.
This is Waco. We live in Waco, Texas, and we're in a...
Right. So then Bean ends by saying, why is nobody answering? Which he well knows the reason to, which that's the rule.
That info, Bean.
If it hadn't been a fascinating fact, I would have understood.
Don't need further clarification. I was just reading about Willie Nelson's new album. Now, what do you expect us to do with that info?
What's he doing this time? Is it covers?
That's
is
that info, Bean.
Is it a reggae album? What is it? What's Willie Nelson
got
going on?
Next time, wait for somebody to say, hey, what's Willie Nelson up to? Then feel free to offer up that information.
That's the key, is none of these topics are being discussed. He just comes right out of the blue with it. So then he goes, hey, he's in his 80s, by the way. And no one said anything. And he said, still working.
Very impressive.
So. He's got a new album. We could have probably put those two together and come up with that on our own.
That's that info, Bean.
It's going to be super sad when bookstores go away. No, nothing. Even with Amazon, it's better to browse and discover stuff you didn't know about. And then Muggs,
a lot of people agree with that, by the way.
And then Muggs said, I agree with that.
Thank you, Muggs.
And I said, Muggs, shut up.
It's tough sometimes.
And then Bean said, we certainly don't need any explanation from you. And then Bean said, at the end of that, Bean said, crazy.
That is crazy, man. Inconceivable.
A couple of more.
That info, Bean.
Why are vanilla wafers so good? That's the unanswerable question. Beat has 100 unanswerable questions, and that's just one of them.
Is there a tugboat going by your house?
I don't know what's happening there. It is in Beat's house.
I'm sorry. That's Baruka. She's snoring. I'm sorry.
Can you move her away from the mic a little?
Well,
or
she's
move
the,
your mic
she's
away
on the
from her?
She's on the couch. She's 15 feet away from
you. Well, I guess
right
there's
now.
Nothing you can do then.
That's that info, Bean.
Poor man is powerless.
Now, Bean, who never goes out and always says he's going to, and he wastes our time with all this conversation about, oh, this is going to be great, that's going to be great, I should go here, I should go there. And then we ask him after the weekend, did you go? And he's like, no.
No, no.
There's no way I could not go see Joe Walsh and Bob Seger in concert, right?
Turns out there's every way.
So no one said anything. And then Bean says, that's pretty much as good as it gets. And then no one said anything. And then Bean said,
on.
Is this thing on?
That's Rat Info Bean.
Come on, you're with me on that one, Ralph. That's a hell of a double bill.
I wouldn't go, first of all. And secondly, it's certainly not as good as it gets.
That puts it at the very top of any concert experience.
More than any musical artist live, Bob Seger and Joe Walsh is as good as it gets.
And here's why this is annoying. You're not going.
I might go.
You could talk about it for 2 months, and I will put money on the fact that you won't go.
I'm thinking of going.
And finally, in the category of unanswerable questions, what about chicken and waffle potato chips?
What about them indeed?
And then no one said anything, and then Bede said, what about that?
That's Rat Info B.
I mean, not sure we
That's
need it. That's
info
all.
B.
I'm not sure we need your talk. When there's a commercial, I'm about to go into commercial. Feel free to keep your silence.
Yeah. And then put a pillow over your dog's face and smother it.
A real big-time movie star, Bruce Willis, joins us in about 10 minutes or so right here on The Kevin and Bean Show talking about the new Die Hard 5 movie. I'm very excited about both of that, the interview and the movie. So, Kevin, you weren't watching any of the State of the Union last night?
No, the Lakers were on.
Kobe Bryant had the best game of his career, I heard.
Well, he had 4 points.
And eight turnovers.
Two free throws. No, eight assists, I think. But he,
and eight turnovers.
Okay, fine. He had two free throws and one shot from the outside. That was it. But the Lakers won. So
well, you missed the president talking for an hour and a half about how he's gonna save America. How he's gonna fix every problem the world has ever had.
If the Lakers weren't on, I would have found something else.
You would have watched the Westminster Dog Show before you watched the State of the Union address.
Yep.
One of the celebrities there last night was not there at the invitation of the president. He was a guest of Texas Republican Steve Stockman, and he is the Nuge, Ted Nugent, the Motor City Madman, who, as you know, very actively speaks out against President Obama, but he was an invited guest to go to the State of the Union address. We've had Uncle Ted on this show a number of times over the years.
He scares me.
He's always very, very entertaining. As I said to him on the phone, I wish I loved anything as much as he loves killing things.
Yeah.
But here's a little bit of what Ted sounds like.
We are patriots. We are Braveheart. We need to ride into that battlefield and chop their heads off.
And I believe Ted Nugent joins us on the phone right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show with his reaction to the President's State of the Union address in D.C. last night. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good.
I'm glad to hear that.
You have a good time last night? You don't ordinarily get to go to fancy things like that?
It was quite an experience to see government in action. And all I have to say is, I am not impressed.
Okay.
Now, a lot of people were excited to see you there. Of course, you have a lot of supporters, a lot of fans there in the Congress as well.
Yeah, everybody has an Uncle Ted story. When you walk the halls of Congress, a lot of right-thinking Americans, intelligent, hard-working, patriotic Americans, all have an Uncle Ted story because we all believe in the same things.
Now, one report was watching you during the State of the Union address as Mr. Obama was speaking, and it said that you spent the entire speech in various stages of physical agony. I take it you were not impressed by anything the president had to say.
It was horrible. I could not believe what was coming out of that man's mouth. I wish I had a broadsword. Like Braveheart.
You're not Braveheart, by the way.
I am Braveheart. Well, I'm a patriot.
Okay.
Right. And I don't think you need to take a weapon into the chamber either.
They wouldn't let me.
How many times did they frisk you, honestly?
About eight times before I got to the metal detector. That's when they found I had keistered a switchblade.
Yeah. You don't need to be bringing a knife in.
No.
Let me play a couple of very brief clips from the speech last night and just get your reaction. Of course, you know, everybody was curious to hear what you'd have to say when the president brought up gun control.
Overwhelming majorities of Americans who believe in the Second Amendment, have come together around common sense reform. like background checks, that will make it harder for criminals to get their hands on a gun. Senators of both parties are working together on tough new laws to prevent anyone from buying guns for resale to criminals. Each of these proposals deserves a vote in Congress.
You're sitting on your hands as he said those words last night, Mr. Nugent.
Yeah, the president said that victims of gun violence deserve a vote. Let me tell you something. They're victims, okay? Victims are losers. We want to give votes to the people who win.
Really?
That's what we want. Ooh, I'm a victim. You find me one guy who's a victim, and I'll show you a guy who was victimized.
I don't understand that. Well,
that's kind of circular logic. But what about somebody like Gabby Giffords, who just was at a shopping mall and got shot in the head? I mean, she's a victim, but it's not her fault.
How about instead of gun classes, we start giving ducking classes?
So there's no responsibility
next
for
the bullets come and just duck. It's simple.
Bullets come a little faster than that. You
should
know.
Well, why did you get a little faster then? Why do people just sit back on their fat American haunches and not try to upgrade themselves a little bit? More dodging, a little more bobbing and weaving. That's what I think.
I see. Okay.
Here's a comment the president made that I can't imagine you will find fault with, but I think it was his attempt at humor.
We got rid of one rule from 40 years ago that could have forced some dairy farmers to spend $10,000 a year proving that they could contain a spill. With a rule like that, I guess it was worth crying over spilled milk.
Now, you got no problem with that, right, Ted?
Oh, come on.
No.
Ted, you seemed like you felt fine. What happened? Ted.
There's a lot of spilled milk right there.
Let me tell you something about a little man named Bruce Willis, who's been a big-time movie star for 25 years, Kevin, still making some of the most interesting choices in the business. I mean, tell me a guy who was in two better movies last year than Loopers and Moonrise Kingdom. I mean, that's good choices right there. And Mr. Willis is back on the big screen tomorrow, Valentine's Day, as the latest Die Hard movie, A Good Day to Die Hard, opens up. Bruce Willis joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Bruce, how are you, man?
Very well. Very well, fellas. Thank you very much.
Hey, let me tell you, let me get your feeling on if this is a good idea or not. My wife and I, who love the Die Hard series, we've watched all of them. Yeah. She wants, for Valentine's Day, to go to a marathon where they show the original, and then the second, and then the third, and then the fourth, and then I think they end with this one.
Well, if you have that kind of stamina, I think you should do it.
I don't, but I love Die Hard movies.
That's a lot of Die Hard, though,
it's
Kevin.
That's a lot of Die Hard.
Now, I don't remember very much, and it just could be my memory, but I don't remember very much about your son in any of the previous four.
No, the only reference to my son was in the first movie when Holly Gennaro put that picture down, face down.
Right.
So Hans Gruber would not see her family. Now, in that picture, there was a little girl and there was a littler boy. Both those kids grew up to be my kids.
Ah. Talk about planting a seed early on and then having it come to fruition. Right, exactly. I mentioned all the interesting choice, and I'm sure you turn down, 100 movies a year, Bruce. Everybody wants you in their film, but you keep going back to Die Hard. You clearly don't need the money. There must be something about John McClane that you just love playing. What is it?
There's a, in retrospect, which, and I seldom look back at my work, but as I do that now while I'm talking about A Good Day to Die Hard, I find that there's a lot of goodwill towards this film, that there is something about this character that I think everybody knows someone like this, a guy who thinks he knows everything, knows how to fix things, knows how to get under the sink and fix the drain, but he really doesn't know any, doesn't know much. He just has good intentions and most of the time is just flailing wildly.
He's a decent guy, but he finds himself in ridiculous situations and somehow is able to completely get out of it. Are you kind of a victim of your own success when it comes to action movies? I mean, it's almost, and you did Moonrise Kingdom and other things like that, but it's almost like if I don't see a gun in your hand, I'm not sure I'm going.
They don't recognize me.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I get to do both things. I get to be in these big studio films and try to carry the ball downfield, and then I get to work with directors whose work I really, really like. Not that I don't like John Moore's work, but I wanted to work with Wes Anderson. And I wanted to work with Rian Johnson. And both those films, as you say, have made a little noise.
Right.
And they're both really interesting pictures.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the best of both worlds for you. Absolutely. Now, it looks like you really did film this in Russia, or unless my eyes are deceiving me. This wasn't Toronto pretending to be Moscow, right?
No, we shot most of it, though, in the summertime in Budapest because we had to rebuild our own Chernobyl.
Wow.
Because we couldn't go to the...
No insurance for the real place?
Well, I said, let's just go there. And they said, well, it was... Someone said, well, we're going to need you for Die Hard 6. I don't want you limping in for that one. But, you get all the sizzle and pop of Chernobyl without...
The sizzle and pop.
Without the sizzle and pop. Correct?
Yeah. Now, I saw you made an appearance with your old friend David Letterman this week, and I have to say, I know that you're a long shot, but I support your plan for you to be the next Pope, Bruce.
Well, somebody's got to do it.
I mean, seriously, it seems, look, this looks like, this is wide open. I don't think there's a front runner at this point. Why not Bruce Willis, a guy who's already loved around the world? Why not a guy who already shows that he can connect with people and is good with a handgun? Why not Bruce Willis for Pope?
Well, now, Kevin and Bean, I'll ask you guys. You seem like you got a lot going on. Do you have to be Catholic to be the Pope?
I don't think so. I'm not positive about that.
Is that a deal breaker?
I'm not positive about that. But I do know that no Pope has been able to use a handgun, so you have them there, even if you're not Catholic.
I could
throw your name in the hat. That's all we're saying.
Well, are you a sports fan at all, Bruce?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Are you a sports fan?
Yes.
You are. I saw a video that just came out this week, no joke, of Pope John Paul II, the last pope before this one, in a batting cage, taking batting practice, swinging a bat, hitting a ball. It was the craziest thing I ever saw. In the robes.
Oh, no. With the outfit?
Yes. Wearing his pope outfit in a batting cage, hitting flies. I was like, the pope, what I'm telling you is this job is changing, man, and it's yours for the taking.
Oh, my goodness. I get some good wood on the ball.
We are talking to Bruce Willis here on the Kevin and Bean Show about A Good Day to Die Hard. I will agree with you that I am also confused about that title, but I don't think people will that'll stand in the way of people going to see this. More than 70 movies you've made at this point, Bruce Willis.
Good grief.
It's crazy, right? What a career. Do you have a favorite, and do you have one that you hate?
Hate may be a strong word. I'd like to kick them a little bit farther back into the corner, but they always come up.
Which one?
It's Bonfire of the Vanities. Not that I hate it. Bonfire of the Vanities, I think everybody thought they were miscasting that. I was meant to play an English tabloid journalist, and I can't do the English accent.
But, that's understandable.
How about
a favorite? Which one is your, like, the one that you hope people remember you by in 100 years?
Well, I sure like 12 Monkeys. I like time travel films. I like Fifth Element. I like I like working with Night Shyamalan both times. I had a ball with him, and with Sixth Sense and Unbreakable.
Yeah, yeah.
I like those pictures. And small films, too. I did a film a long time ago called Mortal Thoughts. And if you haven't seen it, I think it's probably in the DVD store.
You mean DVDs online?
DVDs online.
Right.
Streaming.
Online.
DVD store is not around anymore so much.
They don't have those?
Not much.
I should not have put everything I own into Blockbuster. What was I thinking? Damn it. All right. We're almost out of time here, Mr. Willis. Die Hard, Good Day to Die Hard is Die Hard 5. Open it up in theaters everywhere, which is the perfect Valentine's Day gift. Look, your lady doesn't know this is what she wants to do tomorrow night, but she does. Trust us on this one. Your final thoughts, your final push for why people need to go see this one, Bruce, before we let you go.
I think we should put women in charge of everything. I really do. Not just what you're going to do on Valentine's Day, but everything around the house. Just listen to the women because God knows they are smarter than you. And I.
Well, mine certainly will have me at Good Day to Die Hard. So I win. Thank you, Bruce.
Thanks so much for coming on, man. We really enjoyed
it. Thank you much. Thanks, Kevin and Bean.
Thank you.
Shall we open up the phones now, take callers for giving away killer tickets coming up next?
Do you have a giveaway here?
No. Good.
Yes. Let's do that. We're looking for Killers fans right now. Actually, it's not Killers tickets so much as it is a chance for you to see the band in Buenos Aires, Argentina, KRX World Tour 2013, Destination Number 5. If you are a Killers fan, if you know Killers music, particularly if you can sing Killers music, we want to hear from you. Give us a call right now, Killers fans, at 1-800-520-1067. We'll get to you right after the top of the hour. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat now. Good morning.
Hey, now.
We're talking a lot this week about Kate Upton.
Yes.
The fact that she is the cover girl 2 years in a row for the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition. However, we...
God, is she hot. Look at that rack.
Yeah, she's not bad. What we forgot to mention is that Catherine Webb also makes an appearance in Sports Yay! Illustrated Swimsuit Edition. For those who don't remember, she is the girlfriend of Crimson Tide quarterback A.J. McCarron.
I'll never forget her. Yeah,
that's hot.
Yeah.
That's where Uncle Creepy was born.
How dare you, sir? Brent Musburger was simply commenting on what a lovely lady she is. And, yeah, she makes her appearance. So, good job. Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Jason Bateman is in the number one movie in America, Identity Thief. He has got someone to thank for all his recent success. And Jason says that woman is Jennifer Garner.
Really?
Yeah. Back in 2006, Jennifer convinced him to play her husband in the indie flick Juno that sort of revitalized his career. At that point in his life, Jason Bateman had decided to give up acting.
Is that right?
Move to Italy and open a coffee shop.
He's not just clowning the interviewer when he says that.
No, that was his plan.
Really?
His career had stalled. You know, he was a child star. He had been on a show called The Hogans.
Didn't know that.
A sitcom with Sandy Duncan and originally Valerie Harper. He was sort of a Michael J. Fox type, and it was a family sitcom, and it did fairly well. But after that was over, he had a hard time making the transition to adult roles, and nothing really was going
hello,
on for him.
Teen Wolf 2.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Mm. And so he had decided to hang it up, but Jennifer Garner pled with him to do one last role and play her husband in Juno, and that reinvented his career, and now he's one of the biggest movie stars in the world.
That's crazy to think that, you know.
Because one moment, one decision.
It's amazing.
Changes everything.
And he is, as Kevin pointed out Monday when he was talking about seeing the movie over the weekend, he's so unbelievably likable. You root for him in every role he's in because you just love the dude.
He's great in everything. Coco is desperately trying to save her marriage with Ice-T.
Uh-oh, something new?
Yeah, because rapper AP.9 keeps telling Star Magazine that they had all kinds of sex.
Does AP.9 know $AP? Do we know?
I'm not sure if he does or not. But he says he needs to clear his name because Coco was telling everyone that he was just some super fan stalker who followed her everywhere, and that's why she took those photos with him. He said they had much more of a relationship in Vegas. In fact, he said they had unprotected sex, and he hopes she isn't pregnant with his kid.
Ruh-roh. He's just trying to stir stuff up now, isn't he?
He claims he told Ice-T himself about the affair. And even let T listen in on a three-way conversation with a phone call that he had with Coco about their sex life. So,
I'm sorry. If you tell Ice-T about the affair, Ice-T kills you.
Well, unless they had some kind of arrangement.
Yeah.
You never know. But I agree with Bean. If there was no arrangement, you dead.
Ice-T seems like the kind of guy would take that news poorly.
Right. Right.
I'm just guessing. Diane Kruger's in a new TV series going to be on the FX channel called The Bridge, about a cop who works on the U.S.-Mexican border. I love her, Diane Kruger, by the way. She was in National Treasure and Inglourious Basterds.
Right.
Super talented, so I'm looking forward to that show. And while we're talking about TV, I mentioned that NBC's Up All Night was getting a facelift. They're changing it from a one-camera comedy to a multi-camera comedy shot in front of a live audience.
Right.
Christina Applegate has decided it's not something she wants to do, so she's leaving the program. Now NBC says they're just going to do one episode like that.
What?
Just one episode in front of a live studio audience, and if they like it, maybe they'll think about ordering some more episodes. So it sounds like Christine Applegate did the right thing by bailing on this project.
So she's out either way.
She's out, yeah.
Okay.
So we'll see. Show was just barely hanging on anyway, wasn't it, Ralph?
See whether Will Arnett and Maya Rudolph can save it in front of a live audience or not.
Huh.
Yeah, Bean, it was struggling, so.
That's a shot of confidence, though, that one episode order. That'll fill you with confidence for years.
I can't imagine being at the whims of those people, just being stuck at that stage and not knowing where you're going to go the next day for work or not. It's been crazy. And good news, there's going to be a Finding Nemo sequel. Albert Brooks and Ellen DeGeneres have already signed up to reprise their roles as voices in the film, so you're going to get more Nemo.
Bitchin'!
How many times does Nemo have to get lost before he realizes he doesn't want to be found, man? Maybe it's you, Dad. Maybe he doesn't want to hang out with you anymore. Damn fish.
Is that what the movie's about, is a fish gets lost and people have to look for him?
You never saw Finding Nemo?
Bean has never seen an animated movie in his life.
Just get weirder and weirder, man.
Never seen anything animated.
Creeps me out.
But he'll watch the Powerpuff Girls at home on television. What if you watch an animated movie on television? Is that just like watching an animated TV show?
You watch Family Guy, right?
Yeah. I don't mind animated TV shows.
I don't watch animated movies. I know it seems like a strange distinction.
No, it sounds perfectly reasonable to me.
It's a ridiculous distinction.
I've never seen any of those Pixar movies or any of this nonsense that people talk
about. You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
What if they're showing them on a Tuesday at IHOP or a Thursday at Denny's?
Good.
Ooh. Along with your other weird scheduled oddness.
I have a system, Ralph.
Wednesdays at the 7-Eleven food counter.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Stockard Channing, 69 years old today, as is Jerry Springer. Henry Rollins is 52. Kelly Hugh from The Vampire Diaries and Martial Law, she's 45 years old. Robbie Williams turns 39. Mina Suvari from American Beauty and American Pie is 34. Stephen Coletti from Laguna Beach is 27 years old. And Feist. Remember Feist?
Sure.
Remember Feist?
I remember the name.
I loved Feist.
One, Feist.
2, 3, 4. Feist.
1, 2, 3, 4. Tell me that you love me more. Sleepless, long nights. That's what my youth was for.
Feist.
Oh, teenage hopes arrived at your door. Left you with nothing, but they want some more.
That's a summertime song. Summertime song, walking down the beach.
This is going to sound
very talented.
This is going to sound strange to you, but I think all counting songs suck.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. Any 1, 2, 3, 4,
I got one guy who won't watch that animated movie, and the other guy says any counting song sucks. Well, what kind of categories do you people have in your lives?
They should be on Sesame Street at the most.
She did do a version of that on Sesame Street.
I knew it!
About monsters. 1, 2, 3, 4, monsters walk across.
You know why?
The
because it works perfectly, because like it's ridiculous that she's counting in a song.
Oh. Well, Feist is 37 years old.
Miami
today.
Sound Machine can suck it as well.
Feist is 37. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I'll stop at 37.
We don't need you to go all the way.
11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
Right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Wednesday. We're going to talk the new Survivor in minutes here with one of the actual fan favorites who's going to be joining us in studio. First, though, we're talking about the Killers. They're coming to the Honda Center May 1st, LA Sports Arena on May 2nd. You are about to win tickets for one of those shows and be eligible for the trip to see the band in Buenos Aires, Argentina with a new game we like to call Killer Lyrics.
Oh, he's backing off on the oh yeah, and it makes me angry.
I don't know whether Omar needs more drugs or Lex less drugs.
Says he
I can't
have
tell.
Time.
All right, here's the deal. So we're looking for Killers fans. We told you that you guys are on the line. We're going to play a Killers lyric. They'll be singing the song. All you have to do is finish the lyric. They sing, they stop, then you start singing. And if you're close, we'll put you in the drawing, and you can win the tickets and be eligible for the trip to Buenos Aires. Who's our first contestant?
Stephanie. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, you understand the rules. We're going to start playing the Killers song. When it stops, you have to pick up singing.
I got it.
All right. Here's your song. Good luck.
Help me out. Yeah. You know you gotta help me out.
Yeah. Why don't you put me on the back burner?
Oh, there you go. Well.
Yeah. Don't you put me on the back.
Nicely done.
Stephanie, you are in the drawing for the tickets and the chance to go to Argentina. I will tell you that girls are generally better at this game than guys. Guys, for whatever reason, don't know lyrics, but girls can sing to any song. It's crazy.
All right, let's go to Sherry. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, good morning.
Sherry's a speech therapist. I should go to her.
I don't know if Sherry has enough experience to help you. She sounds young. All right, so we're going to play a Killers song, and then you just pick it up where Brandon leaves off. Okay, Sherry?
Okay, got it.
Good luck.
Coming out of my cage and I've been doing just fine. Gotta be down because I want it all.
And then it goes.
Uh-huh. And then they sing.
It started out with a kiss. How did it end up like this? It
was look at that.
Come on. It started out with a kiss. How did it end up like this?
Nice job.
All
hold
right.
on.
2 for 2, Stephanie and Sherry are both in the drawing. Who's our next contestant?
A guy who's not going to get it because he's a guy. Garrett, hi.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Hey, we're just saying from experience, women rule at this game.
I'm pretty sure I got this.
Okay, well, this one's relatively easy. So here you go. This is your killer song. You pick it up where it stops.
Are we human? Or are we dancer?
My sign is vital. My hands are cold.
My sign is vital.
Nicely done.
Weird that Garrett sounds like a dude but plays like a woman. All right, 3 for 3 so far. Who's up next for killer
next
lyrics?
Is Mike. Hi, Mike.
No pressure, but no pressure at all, Mike, but everyone else has nailed this dude.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do.
I'm guessing not, but good luck. Here you go. Here's your killer song.
Really?
Dude, I love the Killers. I've never heard of that song before.
In my head, I was saying, really?
I've never heard of that song before. I don't know what to tell you, dude.
Play for the other guys. I mean,
sorry, man.
You get the spot.
Need some lyrics.
All right.
Sorry.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's called Move Away. All right. Hold on.
Why have none of us ever heard of that song?
I don't know.
It's not just me, right?
Peggy,
what the hell?
Hi. Peggy.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Of course I'm ready. I've been ready.
All right. Take it easy. Killer song. Here you go.
We took a walk tonight, but it wasn't the same.
No idea.
We had a fight on the promenade.
Here's what I like about you, though, Peggy. You don't waste our time.
Thank you for playing anyway. We hit a little bit of a speed bump after a strong start, but who's next?
Next is David. Hi, David.
How's it going?
Well, it was going really well. Now it's going not quite so well.
All right, let's do this.
All right, you ready? Here you go.
Well, somebody told me you had a boyfriend.
Who looks like a girlfriend. Keep going.
Well, yeah, that was pretty obvious. I'd appreciate the next line, too.
That's a pretty easy one.
Somebody told me that you had a boyfriend who looks like a girlfriend that I met back in... You going?
Yes! You didn't do any more yet!
That's not confidential.
Oh, man.
What do you think, Kevin? He did get that I met back in, which isn't right, but is close to
but
that I had.
But the other one's got it right, Bean.
I did. I think we are going to let you go. I'm so sorry, but thank you for playing. All right,
that
one
I had
more
in February of last year.
That's like a girlfriend that I
thank you, Bucks.
One more contestant. Let's see how we do. Then we find out who wins.
Erica, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
We are doing well. You?
I'm pretty nervous right now, but
okay.
I'll try.
Good luck. Here you go.
He doesn't look a thing like Jesus, buddy.
Oh, my God. Can you play it one more time?
Nope.
Ah!
He doesn't look a thing like Jesus, buddy.
Doesn't look a thing like Jesus, buddy. Talks like a gentleman, like you remember when you...
Like you imagined.
Close enough. Thank you very much.
Talks like a
All right. Wow, that was exhausting. And there is no killer song called Move Away. Sorry about that. Sherry, Garrett, Erica, all in the drawing. Someone wins tickets to a Southern California killer show and is eligible for the grand prize of a trip to see him in Buenos Aires. Who's it going to be?
It is going to be Stephanie.
Yay!
Who's not on hold.
Did we lose Stephanie?
What do I do? Did you write Stephanie? Is that right?
Yeah. No, she won. She was on line one. She was our first contestant. It was
Sherry,
Stephanie.
I have Garrett. I have Erica. And I have Alina.
Well, Stephanie must have been disconnected, so call us back and good luck.
Hey,
nice start.
Successful.
Nice finish. What not to buy for Valentine's Day, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Also, some unbelievable audio from a reporter who was right in the middle of that supposedly Chris Dorner shootout yesterday, and Adam Carolla all on the way. First, though, hit it, Steve. Ralph, where's your didgeridoo? I thought you'd bring your didgeridoo in for this. This is a big deal.
You brought the real deal. He didn't need me. I think my version's better.
Thank God Ralph lost that.
Wow.
Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah.
It's a gift. It's a gift, Malcolm.
Ralph used to have a didgeridoo that he would insist on playing in studio every time we talked about Survivor. But Survivor is coming back. It premieres tonight at 8 o'clock on CBS. It's Survivor Karamoan. Like, that's a real place. Fans versus favorites. We're happy to welcome Malcolm Freeberg to the studio. Hi, Malcolm.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
First of all, where is Karamoan?
It's in the Philippines. It's the same place. It's just a cooler name for it.
Better than Philippines? They've run that. They've run that into the ground, have they?
They can't say it twice. Everyone think they're playing reruns.
That's true. Yeah.
Is it a country though, or is it just an island that's part of the Philippine Islands?
You know, you'd think I'd be more informed on this subject, but
Look, they drop you out of a cargo plane or something. You don't know where you are.
I don't know where the hell I am. It's there's sand. There's trees. Okay. They starve right. you. Good I don't enough. Know what's going on.
They starve you. Yeah.
So for
they
you,
they can do it down on Venice Beach, really, when you think about it. It's all the same stuff.
That's true.
So for you, Malcolm, returning to Survivor as one of the favorites, it was kind of an extension of what you went through in the Philippines. It was very, very similar. It's not like they put you in a totally different environment.
No, it was, there was, you know, a lot of the same things. I mean, the environment's the same, you know, scenery, same resources around. So, you know, going into it, I kind of had some idea of, you know, what I was going to be working with as far as, you know, the terrain and the environment.
Right. Okay. Now, Kevin and Bean didn't watch last season, so you can just pipe down for a minute.
We didn't. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You got so effed. And I said to you when you walked in the door, you were by far, my wife and I are religious Survivor watchers, and you were our favorite, you were the front runner, you had the world by the ass, you had the immunity idol in your back pocket, you kept winning immunities on top of it, you seemed unstoppable. And then this alliance, this stinking alliance with these evil, evil bastards that you allied with, turned around and stabbed you in the back.
Hey, Ralph, you know this is a TV show, right?
No, it's real,
okay,
man.
I'm just checking.
The guy's right here.
I know. TV show. It was real. It happened to him.
This guy right here.
But he didn't get Malcolm. Stabbed. You can see he's pretty healthy.
What happened, Malcolm? How were you on the fast track to win and then the alliance effed you? What went wrong?
I trusted baby boomers. I put my faith in like the
that.
Old people.
Never
yeah.
do
is
that.
What happened. Yeah. And, you know, and it really came down to, you know, trusting the wrong people. And then, I like you said, I was on this winning streak towards the end. And then I get literally, I have just shaky hands. Actually, look at me right now. Like, that's just, it's essential tremors or whatever it's called. And of course,
drugs.
You know, this is radio. I can't talk about this. But
these fries are harder to find a pusher on the islands, by the way.
The very last thing, if I win this thing, you know, I'm a millionaire.
Yeah. Of course,
it comes down to having steady hands. And yeah. I walked up and just like had a little pity party for myself. I was like laughing and crying when I saw what I was going to have to do.
Oh, how did that happen?
But well, you must have been shocked the way that Scoopin and Facts of Life and Denise just turned around and blindsided you.
I had no idea it was coming. And I'm just sitting there. And yeah, I just like, you know, wrecked my world. But, you know, it kind of meant I get a mulligan and get to do it again.
Yeah,
so
you're coming.
The end of the world.
Now, how many seasons had you watched before you went on it?
I'm a super fan.
Super fan. So you watched all of them?
Just about. I skipped a couple the lamer ones in the middle. Apparently, I didn't miss anything. but super fan. I, you know, coming back and, you know, there's nine other favorites. I recognized everyone right off the bat. And
wow.
It was, yeah.
So you go in having a pretty much a game plan. I imagine you thought it through 100 times before you actually.
Closer to 1,000. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you don't go into a football game without, you know, scripting plays, you know, knowing what your strategy is going to be, studying like your opponent, that sort of thing. So, you know, I definitely went out there with a plan and had at least to some extent, you know, figured out what I was going to do before I even got there.
But all the plans in the world aren't going to help you unless you can deliver. And you were a monster out there. You really, with the challenges and everything else, you were just crushing
it. Do you want to kiss him?
Yeah. I'm telling you, he was very impressive.
Do you want to commercial him? So we can hook up?
but let me ask you this question, Malcolm. If you played the game just right, and it sounds like you did based on Ralph's raving, but what sunk you was the shaky hands. Aren't you at risk for that exact same thing happening again your second go around? That's the one thing you can't control.
The shaky people sunk them, really.
You know, I talk a lot about the shaky hands thing, but really it's, you know, it's a social game and you have to, it's about reading people and understanding relationships and being able to tell when somebody's lying to your face. And unfortunately, I couldn't read, you know, this professional actress who was lying to my face.
Are you a good liar?
I think I'm a good liar. Just apparently can't read, you know, women in their mid-40s.
Listen, guys can't read women of any age.
I am not embarrassed about
this
fact.
Don't worry about that.
But it was costly.
But Denise especially, you guys were especially close, and it must have been especially difficult for you to have her turn on you, I think.
You know,
I mean, it seemed like the way in the final, when you gave your speech in front of the final tribal.
Well,
council,
I only had 24 hours after she did that to me, so I'm still heated, and I'm throwing things around after I get voted off.
Right.
But me and Denise, who was my closest ally the first time around she's, again, like in her 40s, like the lady I worked with from the very beginning.
Right.
The reason we got along so well is because we approached it the same way, is that it is a game. And at some point, you're going to have to cut each other's throats. So even though she did that, and even though I was livid for, you know, like 72 hours afterwards, she's still like one of my best friends. We talk all the time. That's me and Denise are really close.
Do you get money for second place?
There's consolation prizes.
Okay. Yeah,
didn't you win the fan favorite? Didn't you get the vote one? Wasn't that you? No.
No.
Who took that one?
Blair Warner.
You're kidding me.
Not Lisa. Blair Warner won that.
Lisa Welch, of course, who played Blair on the Facts Live. I didn't know. I forgot that part. All right.
Yeah.
You got screwed.
So even though she horked you as a competitor, you have respect for her that she played the game better than you did.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's exactly you said. It's a game. Like, you don't get mad at, you know, Tom Brady when he, like, you know, kicks your ass in the Super Bowl.
I do.
You
I
respect.
Do. I do.
All right, sorry.
He's an Eagles fan, so he hates
they
him going
beat
in.
My Eagles, and I see, was brutal.
I'm a Falcons fan. We don't deal with the Patriots a lot, so that's like a safe choice for me.
Sweet.
But you don't get mad at the opposing quarterback as a person when they beat you. You're pissed off that you lost, but you don't hold it against the people.
Right,
that's like
right,
the same way
right.
I approach. I'm not going to hold it against the person that they played better than me.
Now, this next season that starts tonight, you are much better than you were when you showed up for the last one. I imagine you learned a tremendous amount.
Yeah, you learn a lot, but at the same time, this was the second season, this one that premieres tonight,
mm-hmm.
started being filmed 2.5 weeks after the last one ends. I didn't have a lot of time for reflection.
All right, we need to take a break, but when we get
or,
back...
Or food, or yeah. recovery,
oh,
or
no.
physically, alone.
I was going to say, when we get back, we need to talk about what you do with 2.5 weeks.
And I want to
talk about some of the other favorites who are coming back tonight. It really is an all-star edition, and there's some lunatics in the show.
We'll do that right after this on K-Rock.
Audible chocolate on the airwaves.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Ooh, ooh!
What did you do?
Kind of get sick of that song after a while.
I bet you are. Hey, that song, he sings it all day long.
Yeah, yeah. That song might make you $1 million, though. Malcolm Freeberg, who is in studio with us, talking about Survivor Kara Moen, Fans versus Favorites, which comes on tonight at 8 o'clock on CBS. By the way, Ralph, I know you're a huge fan.
Yes.
Season 26
know,
of
crazy.
Survivor starting tonight. How crazy. Insane is that?
I remember. Remember when we did our live broadcast for the second season?
I do.
Oh, that's
and we broadcast
right.
from CBS Television City, and we sat down with Colby and all that crew.
Yep, that's
and it was
right.
like, this will probably be the last one, we said. You know, it'll run out of steam after two or three
Who
of
was
them.
The old Marine guy that was like...
Rudy.
Rudy.
That's all right.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do this.
I don't know what the hell that even says.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Now, Ralph, you were very excited when you saw that Malcolm was among those in the favorites that were going to be brought back. But you have some other people that you're interested in seeing what they do this season,
well,
too, right?
Just because there's some lunatics, which always makes it interesting.
Of course.
You know, usually every season has to have one. And then when they do the All-Stars, they throw a couple in just to make sure the people are filled with crazy. You got Russell Hanson's what's his nephew?
Nephew, yeah.
Brandon, who's nuts, out of his tree nuts.
Good.
And then you've got Philip, the secret agent. Who talks to ghosts and wears pink underwear all the time.
What?
He literally is like a crazy homeless guy you see walking down the street pushing a shopping cart.
Are all these people acting?
I hope so for their sake.
Yeah.
And then you are spending a month out there on the islands with them. It must be fascinating. We had Probst on last time for the end of last season, the finale. And he said he thinks this season is one of the best ones ever. Can you confirm or deny, Malcolm?
I mean... Going into it, I don't want to talk about like what happens, you
sure,
know,
you
while we're out
right.
there. Yeah, but like going into it, I'm looking around at like these guys, and I'm a huge fan of the show. I recognize everybody right off the bat, and my like head was kind of going. So I was like a confused puppy. Like, what's going on? Like,
it's like stepping into your television
from,
set, right?
From watching these people before. All right, Philip,
do you win?
Nutty.
Sorry, Philip. Nutty.
Philip's nutty.
Philip,
yeah, he's
nutty.
Crazy.
Okay, Brandon. Nutty.
Right.
Okay, Cochran.
Oh, that's right.
Doesn't
Cochran.
Belong on an island.
Yeah, Cochran was the nerdy redheaded guy with the glasses.
Okay.
Yeah, just no business being
out Eric, there. The other guy, like young athletic guy, basically just gave it away, like gave himself up to lose. So I'm looking at all the other males I'm with, and
like,
you know, you're judged
dunk?
By the company you keep.
Sure. You think you're in
I'm
their
like,
company?
What did I do that was so wrong? You just let me in with these
they
people.
They must think I'm a loser.
They put me on the short bus squad.
I know.
They're
going
to give me a helmet to walk around with.
Totally my first reaction. Like, God, I'm going to look horrible when they show the Philippines.
No, but don't you feel then like, hey, I have a pretty good shot at this one as well?
Yeah, I'd
no,
be encouraged.
My self-esteem was in the toilet
oh,
when we
that sucks.
All
right, before now, we took the break, Ralph brought up the fact that you finished one Survivor. You got 2.5 weeks off.
Yeah.
And then you started another one.
Yeah.
What do you do with those 2.5 weeks to get yourself back to center?
You know, I told myself, all right, I'm going to eat right. I'm going to work out a little bit, like kind of keep myself in shape and, you know, just kind of, like get generally build myself back up.
Right.
How'd that work?
That didn't happen.
Was it a difficult decision after finally getting home, being able to sleep in your own bed and have heat and food? Was it a difficult decision to go back out to another Survivor or no?
Well, see, they jumped me so quick after I got voted out. And, you know, Probst has said it took about 5 minutes after he snuffed my torch for him to come down and ask me to come back.
Oh, is that
weeks.
Right?
Oh, he jumped,
and
he
you
knew,
were angry at that point.
Oh, he
so.
Knew exactly what he was doing because, like, you know, you beat me in a game of checkers right here, and I'm gonna get like ticked
Hell
off.
Yeah,
and like, we're playing
rematch.
Again. Yeah, we're going again. He knew exactly what he was doing. He came down and jumped me and asked me, like, "Yeah, let's go right now. I don't need to go home.
So
let's get going."
So 2 weeks later, it's just about time to start again, and you're thinking what?
I'm thinking, God, why have I been eating donuts for the past 2 weeks?
You've been on a couch. Saying,
tune in tonight and you will see the biggest gut I've ever had in my life. I sat there and ate cookie cake, ice cream,
beer, donuts. The window.
Oh, yeah. I was a static object. I was on the couch catching up on Games of Thrones, eating delivery food. The quickest I moved was to run downstairs to meet the Domino's delivery guy. Really, I was horrible.
Now, let me ask you this. This is the voice of Malcolm Freeberg here on the Kevin Abine Show. He's one of the contestants on the new Survivor debuting tonight on CBS. You've been watching the show since the beginning, and you know that everybody thinks they've got it figured out because they all also watch the show, and then they get on. But it's always harder than they think it is. Was it for you? Was it incredibly difficult compared to what you expected it to be like when you did it the first time?
I think I gauged it pretty well, actually. I think a lot of people don't underestimate the experience and the actual elements and how hard it is mentally, because your head has to be in it every minute dealing with people and all of, I mean, it's Machiavellian like politics going on 24/7.
You can't let your guard down ever.
No.
That must be even more exhausting than the physical stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But you can't even rest for a minute without worrying
about the mental exhaustion. The paranoia is a real thing and it kicks in. And I think I was, I judged it better than most people going into it. So I think I was prepared, excuse me. But another thing is the people that – it's a reality TV show. The people they're putting out there, myself included, we have a bit of an ego. We think we're going to be able to handle it. And that's just, the nature of the people that are going to go out there.
Right.
So that's why you see that a lot. The people, oh, we got it all figured out. Of course I'm going to win this thing. Well, that's because that's who CBS wants to put on the show.
Right. Yeah, yeah. How much do you miss friends, family, porn, the essentials?
If my mom is listening, Mom, I promise I missed you more than porn.
That's right. But only by a little bit.
Only just a little bit. It hits you after a few days. I think everyone has like a moment or two. And I definitely had mine. You watched last season. I was on like one of the worst tribes in the history of tribes. We got decimated at the beginning.
It was crazy.
And like when we're like the lowest of lows, like you have a moment. Like, and I think I'm like an emotionally tough guy. Like I had a moment where I'd like go off by myself and sit there and, talk myself back into it. And it's harder on some people.
Did you cry?
No, absolutely not.
Be honest.
No.
Did you cry?
No, I ate quiche and I wept. No.
How many in a row did you guys lose, that tribe? How many in a row?
We lost the first four challenges.
Four, yeah.
And we on a tribe of six, so we lost four of six people in the first like 10 days.
Immediately, rapid.
There's no way to go to somebody and go, I'd like to trade.
That doesn't work.
Not an option?
We petitioned, but it didn't work out.
No, that's too bad.
All right, let me ask you this question, Malcolm, and I'm always fascinated with this because the people who are making Survivor, the crew and the cameraman and all those guys, they're very hands-off. Do you just ignore them, or are there off-screen relationships and friendships that develop that we don't know anything about?
No, absolutely not. It's kind of like the way we were told. It's jumping into a cold pool. It's like weird at first to being followed by, a ton of people with cameras while you're in your underwear, kind of being secret about your conversations. After 2 days, you're used to it, and they disappear? You don't even recognize them. Hmm. They're not, wow. You don't talk to them, you're not supposed to,
they don't engage in any way.
You don't engage in any way. They're just there, and you don't even, pay attention to them anymore.
And how about Probst? Do you ever feel that he has favorites among you guys?
No, he's been doing it for so long.
He knows.
I'm sure he has favorites, but I think he plays
it
straight.
He said he didn't like you.
What the hell?
I'm just kidding.
No, he plays it straight. And, one thing is, and a lot of people complain because what you see is, you see the TV show, everything takes 20 times as long as it actually shows. So you see tribal council and you see the questions he's asking, and it could appear that he has favorites or he's leading people to believe one thing. If he asks somebody, should you play your idol tonight? He's asked that to everybody there or something. What I'm saying?
Oh, really? Wow.
It just takes, they have to cut it all out, and they're building a story for television. So he plays it straight the entire time, and he's not leading anybody like that.
The only annoying thing about Probst is I think he's the best host on television for any reality show.
I do too.
Show
I agree.
I think he's brilliant. But what bugs me about him is during the challenges, he'd be like, hey, you got to pick it up. You better step it up. F you, Jeff. I know I'm behind. I don't need you calling it out to everybody.
One of the things they didn't show that I was livid about last season, there was this challenge. I had to dig a hole in the sand. I had to go 3 feet down. It was taking forever. And I was working my tail off. And Probst is standing over me. He's a little guy. He's 5'6". And I'm on my hands and knees in this hole. He's standing over me. It's the first time he's been able to look down on me.
Sure.
30 days or something. And he's gets into his head. He starts, Malcolm, you got to pick it up. So I started throwing the sand on him.
Nice.
To get him away from me.
I like it.
Malcolm's struggling, having a hard time. Can't find that thing.
It's like shut up.
I got to need that guy screaming in your ear.
All right, Ralph, I hate to say this, but we're almost out of time for Malcolm here. We're going to have to let him go.
Well,
but
I'm leaving with Malcolm. Screw you guys.
Anything else you want to know, Ralph, about Survivor, Caramon, fans versus favorites tonight on CBS?
No, I'm going to find out everything I need to know tonight. I can't wait to watch. Dawn is coming back. Dawn's a sweetheart, right? Did you like
Dawn's Dawn? Sweet. I mean, you know, going into it, I've seen her play. She's, you know, just a sweet old lady, but, you know, I have a deep-seated fear of sweet old ladies.
You can't
now
trust them anymore. So. I can't wait to see the show tonight. Looking forward to it, Malcolm. I hope you get some revenge for all of us Malcolm fans as well as yourself. That's all I'll say. That's all
I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for you guys.
We appreciate it. We appreciate it.
That's tonight at 8 o'clock on CBS. It's the newest edition of Survivor. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
So who wins if we have Survivor, Kevin, and Bean, Ralph?
Who wins? Out of the entire crew or between you and Kevin?
All of us. Yeah, the whole crew. They take us all. Dave and Chip and Lisa and everybody drop us all down on the island and make us, you know... Wow. Make us do the game.
I don't think any of us last a week.
No question. I win.
I don't know.
It's not even a question.
No, you don't win.
It's not even a question.
First of all, you don't win.
That's absurd.
No. Because part of Survivor is to outplay, outlast, and outwit.
Done.
No. Did you hear the third one was? Outwit.
No, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I know you don't. That's what I'm saying. Kevin would get that towards the end. I like to think I do pretty well. Bean would be murdered and eaten by all of us in the first
How
day.
How dare you?
Just
dare you?
Lisa couldn't make it.
No.
Dave might be a good player.
You know who would win? Chip.
Yeah, probably. You're probably right.
Oh, baby, Chip.
Chip would win.
Because everybody likes her, and she would just fly under the radar, and she's in good shape. She's a good athlete. And
smart enough to stay quiet.
Yeah, and then she would stab somebody in the back at the end and go all the way to the finals.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. All right.
Beer mug and Bean out first, right?
Isn't that first day.
First day, yes.
7:53. Don't ever put me in any category with beer mug. Even if it's guys in radio with the first name that starts with a B, I don't want to be in beer mug's category. All right, time for the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph.
Sad news. It's official. Rihanna has come forward and confirmed the fact that she and Chris Brown are back together again. Apparently, she was talking to Rolling Stone magazine and said, "Yes, Chris and I are back together. I decided it was more important for me to be happy, and I wasn't going to let anyone's opinion get in the way." You know what she should do? You know, sometimes when you go on a diet, you take a picture of a really fat person and you put it on your fridge. So every time you go to the fridge, you look at the giant fat person and you say, "Oh, well, that changes my mind. I won't reach for that."
Right.
For that ice cream or whatever. She should get a photo of what she looked like after that night when he wailed on her face and put that on, I don't know, everywhere. Get a t-shirt. Have it tattooed on the inside of your eyelids.
I agree.
That's just stunning to me. It's just tragic.
No one has made worse apologies. Worse non-apologies than Chris Brown.
And he seems to be a repeat offender. He seems to be getting all kinds of trouble and getting in mixes with people and stuff. He seems like just a bad dude. I feel bad for her. She's a super talented girl. She seems like she's got a lot going on, and she's hitched her wagon to the wrong star. Well, hell, what do I know?
I agree. I mean, look, I think there are people who make a terrible mistake like Chris Brown made and do learn from it and do clean up their act and do never offend again. I think that is possible. I don't think Chris Brown is that person.
Nope.
to never do it again, because like everything else points to, the guy is just a giant selfish douchebag.
Right. And I hope we're all wrong, and I hope they have a very happy life, and he never raises his hand to her again, but I just get a bad feeling.
Asshole.
Oh, come on now.
That's the feeling, right?
That's just not appropriate.
Asshole.
Hey, what did I just say?
Not me.
David Lee Roth's getting back into radio. Well, it worked out so well the first time, I could see why I'd go back. People may forget, but Diamond Dave of course, lead singer Van Halen, he was the replacement for Howard Stern east of the Rockies.
That's right. And Adam Carolla did.
Stern left. Adam Carolla did the west
of
the Rockies.
That's right.
Yeah. He did his own morning show, and it did not last terribly long.
Asshole.
So now he is moving on to where all radio rejects go, the internet. He's going to have his own internet radio show called The Roth Show. He's going to do it from his home in Tokyo. You know, he lives in Tokyo.
What? No way.
He moved to Tokyo.
Why?
I don't know.
Find people who didn't already hate him?
Apparently, he says he really likes sushi, but you can find that almost anywhere, right?
Right.
I'm kidding. Yeah. I'm kidding. That's not why he said he moved there.
Okay.
As far as the future of Van Halen is concerned, they have a couple shows coming up, and then apparently no plans to continue on past that. And Dave says that makes him very upset because he'd like to keep playing. I wonder how your bandmates feel about that.
Yeah.
And Steve Martin is going to has become a first-time father at the age of 67 years old.
Asshole.
Oh, come on. It's Steve Martin. We love Steve. His wife's 41. Apparently, they welcomed their first child together back in December. No word on the sex or the name, because Steve's a very private guy, says one source, and hasn't released that information. But having your first kid at age 67.
Yeah, I don't know. Wow. So by the time the kid is a teenager and at its hardest point, he's going to be in his 70s.
Yeah.
Maybe 80s.
Well, it's good the kid will be old enough to push the wheelchair. So that'll be good enough. He'll be big and strong enough so they can come in handy.
Can feed Steve a bottle.
That's right. Steve can change the baby and feed him a bottle. And then just at the right time, those chores transition. And then when it comes time to change Steve and burp him, then the kid will be helpful around the house.
It all works.
Maybe
out,
better
really.
Timing than we originally thought.
Best possible timing, actually.
Yeah, congratulations to Kate Upton. Yes, she has landed the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition.
Let the romance begin.
Let's all play some audio together, shall we?
Right, you first.
Let the romance begin.
Second year in a row she's landed that.
Yeah.
Give it to her every year as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Did you see the photos?
Oh, yeah.
It's like a polar ice cap version of her in bathing suits and stuff and everything.
I think her boobs have gotten bigger.
It's up at kevinandbean.com if you want to see the photo gallery somehow that we had time to put that up.
What we didn't know, though, was that Miss Alabama, Catherine Webb, is also going to be in that issue. She famously, of course, now is the girlfriend of Crimson Tide quarterback A.J. McCarron. She was the woman who got all that attention from Brent Musburger, when he featured her. Well, actually, it wasn't his fault. They put her on the camera, and he was just talking about her, and he went a little crazy. He seemed to...
Now, when you're a quarterback at Alabama, you see that lovely lady there. She does go to Auburn. I want to admit that. But she also, Miss Alabama, and that's A.J. McCarron's girlfriend, okay? And right there on the right is Dee Dee Bonner. That's A.J.'s mom. Wow, I'm telling you, quarterbacks, you get all the good-looking women. What a beautiful woman.
Wow. A.J.'s doing some things right down in
Tuscaloosa. So if you're a youngster in Alabama, start getting the football out and throw it around the backyard with Pop.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with anything that Mr. Musburger said there.
Throw it around so you can get some hot tail like A.J. McCarron. She's a lovely lady.
I agree that there's nothing wrong with the words that he used, but for some reason coming out of his mouth, it's like coming out of Bean's mouth.
I'd like to use her underwear as a pasta strainer.
I don't believe he said that.
I'd like to slather her in butterscotch pudding, stick her to the wall with some Velcro and duct tape, and make her my love slave for many, many years. I'd like to tie her up here in my basement, feed her baked beans on a flat tray I could slide under the door and just let no one know about her whereabouts. And I'm done using degrading her.
Look, if it hadn't been for Brent Musburger, we wouldn't have Catherine Webb in the new Sports Illustrated issue.
Agreed.
Doesn't make them not creepy. Look how the creepies all defend each
other. They do, yeah.
Do you guys meet up at some creepy meeting house or something and you all flash your creepy membership cards?
I want to destroy them.
Oh, come on.
Today's celebrity birthday, Stocker Channing, 69 years old today. Talk show host Jerry Springer also celebrates his 69th birthday. Legendary Black Flag lead singer Henry Rollins is now a very popular radio personality and a spoken word artist in his own right, 52 years old. Kelly Hugh from the Vampire Diaries is 45. Robbie Williams, that name may not mean a lot over here in the States, but in the UK, he is a monster star.
He is.
39 years old. Mina Suvari is 34, and Stephen Colletti, you got to know him on Laguna Beach, is also in One Tree Hill, 27 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So Valentine's Day is a thing that happens every February 14th, and it's coming around again, right?
Well, that would be tomorrow.
That is tomorrow.
Yeah.
Wow. So there are a lot of people right now scratching their heads. Well, excuse me. Let me take that back. There are a lot of guys right now scratching their heads going, what am I required to do for Valentine's Day? Because this is another holiday that is allegedly about couples, but is really just about girls getting stuff.
Bitter party of one.
I'm just saying. Am I wrong?
That's a skeptical way to look at it. Yeah.
Guys don't expect Valentine's Day presents. That's all I'm saying.
No, that's
girls,
true.
Girls are crushed if they don't get a Valentine's present. Let's not pretend that this is not a holiday for women.
He doesn't like it. I don't mind it. Let's move on.
But what's the policy for Valentine's Day? Because what's really expected, Kevin? You claim to have a handle on this thing. What do you do for Valentine's Day?
Well, most of the time, my wife leaves me enough hints, and for me, that's a lot. That's a lot of hints. You know, notes around the house, my forehead.
So she doesn't leave it to chance, in other words.
Most of the time, no, because it would probably be a disaster. But, you know, you got to do the flowers. And if they're at work, you should just send them to work. And, you know, nice cards. It doesn't have to be expensive.
Do girls really like flowers, or is that just such a cliche at this point that they just expect it because society has told them every year they're supposed to get flowers?
I think that depends on the girl. I think there are a lot of girls, my wife included, who love flowers.
If I got my wife flowers every day, she would love it.
Really?
I don't, because I don't want her to get our expectations up.
What about a situation like mine where every day is Valentine's Day and February 14th is no more special or less special than, you know, July 8th?
Your wife is going to be crying in bed. Any other questions?
We want to take some phone calls here, and I think this works twofold for us here on the Kevin and Bean Show today. We want to hear from you about the worst Valentine's Day gifts you've ever received.
Now, Bean, if yes. these people call and open up their lives to you, you're not going to go, oh, bitch, you wanted blah, 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 right?
No.
You can't be mad at them because they got a bad gift and they're complaining about
no,
it.
No, I appreciate calling right. and sharing. I'll be hands. I mean, look, we're looking for your opinion, you the caller. If you hated the gift, if you thought it was a terrible gift, if it wasn't what you wanted, we want to hear what right. it was, basically. So that's thing A, 1-800-520-1067. Because let's face it, there are guys who don't get the clues. They don't read the signs. And they do end up buying you a blender for Valentine's Day. I mean, we know for a fact that stuff like that happens.
And it is the day before. And a lot of guys right now are going, wow, I didn't know it was the day before.
Right. And that's thing two. So thing one is we want to hear from you about the terrible Valentine's Day gifts you've gotten that broke your heart at 1-800-520-1067. And part two is look at this as some sort of assistance for the guys who are out there thinking, wow, I need to get a gift. I better listen up and make sure I don't get a bad one. Right?
Right.
Now, there's one thing that I will tell you that is absolutely not the right gift to get for Valentine's Day. And I hadn't even considered this.
No one would.
Has a possible gift. But I was watching the Grammys on Sunday night on CBS, and they ran this short advertisement about Valentine's Day.
Want to do something special for your woman on Valentine's Day? Examine yourself for testicular cancer.
What?
Why give a diamond when you can give the family jewels? CBS cares.
All right, Anderson, it's not supposed to be funny. No.
So, CBS is saying...
Sorry.
CBS is saying, check your balls.
Right. It's not a gift.
That's a
right?
gift?
It's not. How is that a present? Look, I know that CBS thinks they're doing us a favor here by trying to stamp out cancer. Come on, Anderson. Don't be ridiculous.
If playing with your balls is a gift, then it is Valentine's Day every day at my house. Come on. What a terrible, terrible PSA.
If your wife or girlfriend comes home and it's Valentine's Day and you say, honey, I forget jewelry. I got you the best gift in the world. I felt up my own testicles. That can't work, right?
Look,
hold
it's
on. Maybe I misunderstood. Hold on one second. Let me hear it again.
Right. Want to do something special for your woman on Valentine's Day? Examine yourself for testicular cancer.
That's what they said.
Why give a diamond when you can give the family jewels?
Come on.
CBS cares.
No. This is a serious thing, Anderson.
That is not a gift. So
that's worse than a star in the star registry, right?
Yeah, totally.
Anderson.
How did the man in your life screw it up for Valentine's Day? That's what we're talking about here at 1-800-520-1067. All right, that's enough, Anderson. Let's go to Jackie.
Although I would like yes? one bold listener that doesn't care about their relationship to try that. To try what CBS suggests, which is to give yourself a test and make that be the gift. I would like you to try that. All right, who do you want to talk to?
Let's try Jackie. Jackie's on line four. Let's find out how her man let her down on this special day of love. Hi, Jackie. Thanks for calling. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear.
Hi, guys. Thanks.
What happened?
I was pregnant with my first kid, and my husband gave me a diaper bag for Valentine's Day.
Oh, no.
And
he
probably thought, wow, this is perfect because she's pregnant.
Right. And yeah. He's like, oh, it's the one you want. It's a Juicy Couture bag. I'm like, it's a diaper bag. It's not a purse.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a type of thing that goes in the category of thoughtful, can bring that home any other day. Not a bad thing to bring into the house. It doesn't say, I love you, you're my Valentine.
Exactly.
In general, I would say stay away from useful things. Anything that's useful
right.
is pretty much not
right.
considered a gift of romance.
Now, Jackie, what would have happened had he not given you the diaper bag and instead told you that he just felt himself up for testicular cancer? What if he had taken CBS's advice and that was the gift?
I probably would have walked out.
Yeah. Yeah, don't do that, people. I mean, do it on your own time. That's fine. Testicular cancer can be stopped if you look early enough, but don't do it as a gift for Valentine's Day.
Exactly. Thank you, Jackie. We appreciate the call. Let's do Lynn real quick, too. 1-800-520-1067. Valentine's Day disaster gifts. Hi, Lynn.
Hey, you guys. How are you?
Good. What happened? What gift?
It was about, it was kind of a long time ago, and my ex-husband now says to me, oh, I got the greatest gift for you. I can hardly wait. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, it's going to be something great.
Wow, he pre-sold it. That's scary. That's scary to pre-sell it because now you get your hopes up.
Yeah, so my hopes are all up, but the package isn't really small. It's kind of like, I don't know, like a foot by a foot. And I'm like, I open it up, and it's a 6-foot inflatable Gumby doll.
A 6-foot inflatable Gumby doll.
Yeah.
Were you a crazy Gumby fanatic? Did you guys have Gumby Pokey bedroom sex games or something, and that was the joke? Or
no, I have no idea where it came from. I had no idea, other than I told him a story once, like before, about how me and my best friend liked Gumby and Pokey when we were little kids. And other than that, I have no idea where it came from.
What was his response when you looked at it and went, huh?
Well, I think he was disappointed that I didn't like it. But you know what? I blew that thing up, and I put it in my front window, and I was like, I'm putting that thing in my window, and you're going to look at it every single time that you come home and see what you gave me for Valentine's Day.
I'll bet that made him smile every time he saw it.
I have no idea.
Yeah, guys and girls are a little different that way.
Yeah, they are. Lynn, thank you so much for the call. And one more via email before we break. Valentine's Day happens to be my ultimate favorite holiday ever, says Patra. So, yes, my ex-husband purchased me a set of tires. Why? Because you need them, he said. And, yes, I said ex-husband. So there you go, Patra. Thanks for listening. We'll take a break. Your call is coming up next. 1-800-520-1067. Bad Valentine's Day gifts right after this on Kip.
Want to do something special for your woman on Valentine's Day?
Sure.
Examine yourself for testicular cancer.
What?
Why give a diamond when you can give the family jewels? CBS cares.
Honey, I was gonna get you a diamond. Honestly, that was the plan, was give you a diamond. But
a big diamond, too. It was going to be like 4-carat diamond.
I decided to play with my testicles instead. You're, okay, Anderson. That's fine. Thank you very much.
Has there ever been a worse suggestion on television? Any channel for any reason.
I don't think so. We're going to go to Heather here on line two in 1 second. First, though, Stacy writes in, the worst gift I ever got was from my boyfriend of 3 years. He gave me a calculator. Yep, a calculator that I did not even know how to use. The worst part was he wrapped it up by putting it in an empty cereal box. You would hope that there was at least some cereal left in the box for me to eat, but like always, no. So that was not what she was.
Here's the thing. Again, the tip that I would give you is useful is not a good gift for Valentine's Day.
Agreed.
Even if she's been asking for a watch forever, unless she says, get that for me for Valentine's Day, get it for another day and get her something that's romantic.
Let's go to Heather. Heather's on line two while we're talking about the I was going to give you a diamond. Heather, welcome to the Kevin Beach Show. Thanks for holding on. What happened, my dear?
Hi. So I had been with my boyfriend for a couple of years and had dropped hints about, hey, maybe we should get engaged. It was definitely about time. So for Valentine's Day, gave me, you know, one of those velvet boxes, and inside of it was a lump of coal. And he said, here's your diamond. Shove it up your ass.
He broke up with you?
No, I broke up with him after that.
I'm saying he was breaking up with you by doing that?
No, he thought it was funny. He thought that was a total funny, like, hey, instead of a diamond, here's a lump of coal.
Oh, my God.
No one really thinks that's funny.
Isn't it weird that you would have married this man, and 1 minute later, because of that, you broke up with him?
Oh, yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
That's weird when you think about
it. That's a misstep. That is a misstep right there.
Yeah, that's not cool. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Emily. Emily's man, I think, was on the right track, but somehow it fell apart in the process. Hi, Emily. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
What happened?
Well, he gave me a box of chocolates.
All right.
And
nice.
I opened it up, and there was only one left.
wait. He ate them all?
Yeah. I don't think he cared much about the relationship at that point.
You think?
It sounds like it. But boy, he sure liked chocolate, didn't he?
Yeah.
By the way, to eat all of that and leave one, he must have just been so full. He might as well have just finished it.
Exactly. That's crazy. Thank you for the call. All right. Let's
was
go
that
to
you, Muggs? Nope. That wasn't you?
Nope.
All right.
It does sound like something Muggs would do. Let's go to Elliot. Elliot's on line four. We haven't, I hadn't even thought about boyfriends, but Elliot, what happened to you on Valentine's Day, son?
I don't know. We hadn't been dating all that while, but we had great reservations at a great restaurant, had cheesecake waiting at home for great dessert, was going to turn it out later in bed, and at dinner, my Valentine's Day gift was a gym membership with the explanation that I'm not usually his type.
Whoa. What? A gym membership with what?
I mean, he gives me a gym membership and says, I really like you, but you're not really my type.
Meaning so I want you to change to be my type or this won't work out.
I mean, I get plenty of money when I want it, but he gives me that, and I went home and was no longer with him.
Yeah, of course. How long had you guys been dating when Valentine's Day came around? Because that's also part of the problem is, you could start dating someone in December, and all of a sudden Valentine's Day, and you guys are still in a new relationship, and that's tough. But how long had you been together?
We'd been maybe probably since about December because we did New Year's, but totally like the first 2 months before Valentine's Day, don't get in a relationship. Same thing goes for Christmas. Learn to know a lesson that way.
And if you're going to break up, do it today. That's what we're saying, right?
Right, exactly. Okay. All right, Elliot, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. These are just crazy how many calls we're getting on this. Let's go to Jenny, line one. More bad Valentine's Day gifts. And again, we remind you guys that are listening, don't buy any of these things that are being discussed, all right? These are all off the table. Jenny, what do you have for us?
I don't know. I think Jenny's being a little harsh.
Hi,
guys. Hi.
I got three bad ones all lumped together into one. I got a bottle of shampoo, a protractor set, and one of those bears you get from the gas station.
I don't know where to start with that.
I would have rather got nothing at all, but in his defense, he did get my shampoo right, so I can't hate him all that much.
Well, then quit your bitching.
Wait, so he got you the shampoo that you like?
Well, the one that I use.
Okay, so what about the protractor set? What's the protractor set about?
Well, because I draw, so maybe I didn't draw good or smell good, so he got me something to better myself. I don't know.
Wow.
It sounds like he was in a scavenger hunt is what it sounds like. That's crazy.
I know. I would have rather had nothing at all. I would have rather checked his balls for cancer.
And scene. Our friend Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage coming up just after 9 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin
Plus. I don't like
Plus.
Air. I'm upset about water.
There is nothing that Adam can't complain
What's
about.
What's up
That's
with fingernails?
Sure. Plus, K-Rock's World Tour 2013 Destination Number 5, The Killers in Buenos Aires, will give you a chance to qualify and be on the standby boarding list for that trip also just after 9 o'clock. Kevin, you said earlier you did not get a chance to watch much of the live coverage that dominated pretty much every channel in Southern California all day long yesterday.
I did not, no.
Christopher Dorner, and aren't you kind of surprised based on how much we knew about this guy and how prepared he seemed to be that this is the way the whole thing went down yesterday?
That's the guy that shot the cops and there was a big manhunt and they put out $1 million bounty on him.
Weren't you a little bit surprised that this is how it ended, though? Didn't it seem like he would have been better prepared than to still be in Big Bear? I assumed all this time that when he abandoned that truck up in Big Bear, that was a ruse, that he was going to try to waste a couple of hundred cops' times looking for him in Big Bear, and he was already, in Connecticut or something by that point.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand that unless he really did plan on returning and causing more mayhem.
Right. Well, it was fascinating to watch this thing unfold yesterday because, that's the thing about when people argue that they like car chases on TV. A lot of times they're really boring, but every once in a while something happens and you go, damn, I can't believe I just saw that on TV. And that's what it was like yesterday watching this gun battle that broke out. And I want to play a piece of tape here as much as we have time for, just because I was so impressed with the extraordinary job that Channel 2 and Channel 9 did. And I am in no way saying this because they happen to be CBS stations, because I've certainly been critical of a lot of things about CBS.
Their idea for a Valentine's Day gift, for one thing.
As a matter of fact, right, exactly. They did a phenomenal job with their coverage all day long, starting with lead anchor Pat Harvey, all the way down to the people on the field, especially Carter Evans, who was the reporter who was in the middle of the firefight between the police and Christopher Dorner.
Well, that seems like a bad place to be. How did he get there?
I don't know, and I'm dying to talk to Carter Evans. If you are listening or in the newsroom at KCBS and you know Mr. Evans, we'd love to have him on the show and talk about this. I don't know whether he thought he was just at a certain location to cover the thing, and then it just turned out that the guy happened to be 200 feet away from him and he didn't realize it, or if he was there because he knew the guy was in that house. I don't know how it began, but listen to some of this coverage and how cool this reporter Carter Evans is undercover as a firefight breaks out around him. Incredibly, incredibly professional and impressive to me.
You know what? I'm in a situation here where police are getting out with guns drawn, so I'm going to have to let you go for a second. Oh, gunfire, we have gunfire, get down. Gunfire, keep down.
All right, Carter, don't worry about us, you be safe.
Stop it, Derby.
All right.
I'm out. I'm not getting down, I'm running.
I'm gone.
Yeah, he's not running. He's, all right, I'm going to have to get down and you know, let you handle the talking for a minute so I can see what's going on. But he is sticking to his post, which is just incredible because no reporter expects this to happen around him, right?
Of course not.
Stay with us, but be safe.
All right, everybody's staying down low right now. We've got helicopters overhead. We had several vehicles just racing down the road that we're on, and I can see, you may be able to hear the gunfire in the background. I can see some of these search teams with their rifles hidden behind trees right now taking cover. And you can hear the helicopters overhead. I'm going to leave the phone open so you can perhaps hear some of this background noise, some of this gunfire in the background.
And he's so calm. It's like, hey, I'm at a Radiohead concert. Let me hold up the phone so you can hear it, you know?
I've already got a load in my pants by that point. I need to go change now.
And I've always wondered this, and maybe this is a stupid question, but have we seen so much gunfire on TV that when it happens in real life, it doesn't seem real or we don't think we can get hit?
I don't know if that's true or not, but I can tell you one time I was leaving a Laker game when it was down at the Forum, and I was sitting at a stoplight, and there was a guy shooting at the gas station on the corner, shooting his weapon just at anyone and anything. And I sat there stunned for, I don't know, 5 or 6 seconds, Bean, before it actually occurred to me that I'm way, way, way close enough to get hit by a bullet, and then I sped off. But it took me a long time to get my head around it.
We are in an area off of Highway 38 right now, and it appears that authorities may have located Dorner, at least from the gunfire that we're hearing right now.
I hear the gunshots, Carter. How close is this gun battle to where you are?
Can you get any closer?
it can be ahead of me. I've got...
Yeah, could you jump up and down and start waving your arms so that you can give Dorner something to shoot at? Like you couldn't get any closer.
We'd like a report from his kitchen. Can you make your way in?
I've got sheriff's deputies with weapons. We also see that someone seems to have set off some sort of smoke device here. Trying to get down for cover myself.
Again, trying to get down for cover myself. He's so calm. He's like, you know what? I just got to bring these groceries in from the car.
Yeah,
I'm on the phone because I'm on my way into the kitchen here. If you could just stand by,
this guy has ice water in his veins.
It's unbelievable how calm and cool this dude is under pressure.
So keep you guys on the phone.
Again, this is reporter Carter Evans from yesterday.
Everybody's ducking for cover behind their vehicles and behind trees right now. We've got two helicopters circling overhead. Here's one of the sheriff's deputies has set off some sort of, looks like a smoke bomb of sorts, and it is literally about 25 feet from where I am. Clearly, that's so that from the sky they can locate where they are. We must be right at the center of this right now, I got to tell you.
Yeah, and I didn't know until that moment?
I didn't know. I was wondering about that smoke bomb. I was trying to figure out what they were doing because they threw it like into the open, like it wasn't like you were throwing it into the cabin to try to get the guy to come out or something like that. Now, thanks to that report there, I knew why they were doing it. So the helicopter people knew where they were, which I thought was fascinating.
He's like, they just threw it right on me. I don't know what to
right,
do.
Exactly. They've asked me to hold this and it's ticking. What should I do now? Well, it went on for, as you know, if you were watching yesterday, the whole thing, you know, the standoff and everything like that. And then the eventual fire that broke out ended up taking hours. And he ended up, I mean, there just ended up just being gunfire just all around him. And he stayed on the phone and kept doing reports the whole time. It was really, really remarkable, I will tell you. And the latest on this, by the way, because when we all went to bed last night, it was, unconfirmed whether it was even Christopher Dorner or not. They have gone in today. They did find human remains and they did find Dorner's driver's license. Somehow that didn't burn up. So it certainly seems 99.999% that this is the end of this horrible manhunt. And the guy ended up killing 4 people, including one yesterday. So I'm glad that's finally over, but I was just so impressed because, you know, we're in broadcasting, sort of.
Sort of.
But you see these people like this guy who just got up and his job was to do, you know, to go out and do, you know, the farmer's market report or something like that for the TV. And who expects that you're going to end up in a firefight like this?
You would have heard some curse words from me and just running.
Yeah. Unbelievably cool under pressure. So well done, sir. Well done. Time for Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, now. If you want to hear me do some X-rated showbiz news this weekend, we're taking Hollywood Babylon down to Long Beach. Going to the beach. Go beach! Check us out at the Laugh Factory there in Long Beach. 10 p.m. on Saturday night, Kevin Smith and I will be doing our show Hollywood Babylon. For more information and for tickets, you can go to CSMOD, S-E-E, smod.com, and you find all the details there, and you can buy your tickets. We'd love to see our fans down there in Long Beach. You don't.
It's Friday.
Nope.
Friday.
Saturday. 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 Saturday.
Wrong Saturday. Information. Sorry.
10 p.m. Saturday at the Laugh Factory down there in Long Beach.
And Ralph doesn't have all the bogus rules that he has to abide by.
Oh, here. So sweet. I can say so many foul, horrible, hateful, disgusting, just repugnant things out loud. It's magic.
I hear the podcast occasionally, Ralph, but I'm unclear. You're a fan of Chelsea Handler or you don't care for her work?
I have nothing but respect for Chelsea.
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
Okay, good.
All right. Oh, wait a minute. Chelsea Handler.
Yes.
Oh, no. She's a talentless.
Yeah. Oh, careful. Which you can say down in Long Beach.
No, I say it a lot.
It's not here.
I drop that see you next Tuesday bomb all the time, my friends. This disturbs me because I thought he was a hero. I thought he was a good man. But it turns out he's not.
Who's that?
Spider-Man. Spider-Man. I thought he was on our side. I thought he was a friend.
Isn't he?
I thought he was protecting us. Turns out he's not. He's a public menace. J.J. Jameson was right. In New York City, Spider-Man was hustling tourists, trying to get tips in exchange for photo poses with Spider-Man. I guess things are tough all over, even for Spider-Man.
The economy, man.
Look, how much money does Spider-Man make fighting crime? Zero is the answer.
That's true.
Nobody pays him to go out there and stop Doc Ock and Electro and Rhino. Green Goblin, Vulture.
None of that's real.
So he's got to make money somehow. So what he does is he takes photos with tourists and then, you know, get a little something for Spidey. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Cough up.
You're dead to me.
Cough up a little something.
Don't be so hard on Spider-Man.
So there he was. And a woman came up to him and he posed with the woman's children, took some photos. And then Spidey turned to the 44-year-old mother and said, hey, how about a little something for Spidey? And she said, oh, no, I don't have any money, after the photos were taken. And so Spidey punched her in the face.
What?
Yeah, that's not...
Punched her in the face?
That's not very super heroic. Spidey's attorney says that the woman struck first by throwing a snowball at him.
No reason to hit a woman. Sorry.
That's what I'm saying.
Sorry.
Turns out Spider-Man, a.k.a. Philip Williams, does have a past record of grand larceny and retail fraud while he was living in Michigan. He is now 35 years old. Decision from the judge on this lawsuit is pending. We'll have to wait and see. You don't punch a lady in the face,
never.
Spidey.
No, any reason.
Not at all.
No, you just shoot her with your webbing in the face. That's what I would have done if I was Spider-Man.
You know it's not real, Ralph.
I would just...
Yeah, I know.
Spin some webbing.
I see what you're doing there.
Just cover her with
my
spidey web.
Right.
That's what I'd do.
Mm-hmm. What else you got?
Here's what I got. Steve Martin's a new dad at 67.
That's a shocker.
Well, excuse me, he said when people said,
right?
Why are you so
good
old
reference.
Having a father?
Good reference.
Here's a wild and crazy guy.
This show brought to you by 1976.
Put that in the file for reference.
Steve, who is 67 years old, he and his wife, Ann Stringfield, who's 41, welcomed a child in November. No word on the name or sex of the child. Steve is very private, so he doesn't even give you a son, daughter, nothing.
Doesn't he seem like David Letterman, a guy who would be super fun to have as a father?
Sure. In between naps... I'm sure he's a blast. And the rumor had been that all six actors to play James Bond on the big screen were going to show up to the Oscars this year to celebrate 50 years of 007. But TMZ caught up with Pierce Brosnan in Malibu, California this week and asked him about that rumor. And he said, the Oscars will be missing one. Giving us reason to believe that Pierce will not participate in the reunion. This, of course... If there is one.
Right.
There's no confirmation that they're actually going to be planning on doing that. It's maybe just a
rumor. You think he would have said that, though? I've not heard anything about it.
Well, I haven't seen the whole video clip. Apparently, the video's up on TMZ. Maybe he did address that. Maybe he said if they do one, they'll be missing one. But regardless, whether it comes to fruition or not, Pierce will not be participating. So,
well, you don't want to get Sean Connery mad.
We don't get our dream.
That.
I know. Love me some Sean.
If Sean shows up in his 80s, then there's no excuse for Pierce Brosnan not to be there.
He could still kick everybody's ass, by the way.
Might.
Sean be there throwing guys left and right, throwing them off the stage, lifting his kilt up, letting him see his Walter PPK.
Huh?
Walter PPK is the gun, James Bond.
Okay, good.
Today's celebrity birthday is Stockard Channing, 69 years old. Jerry Springer, also 69. Henry Rollins turns 52. Kelly Hugh of the Vampire Diaries is 45. Mina Suvari is 34 years old. But the reason we celebrate today, I didn't even realize this. Thank God a listener clued me in. I do it every year. I celebrate it every year. And Dave, the King of Mexico, slacker that he is, did not put this name on the list of my celebrity birthdays.
Who is it?
Today is Naughton Day. It's Naughton Day. David Naughton.
What?
David
today
Naughton.
Is David Naughton's birthday.
Who's David Naughton? Who's David Naughton?
Yeah.
First of all, maybe you've seen a little film called An American Werewolf in London.
Okay.
Hello.
All right.
How about a little something? I'm a pepper. You're a pepper. We're a pepper. Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too?
This the guy that did a commercial for Dr. Pepper?
Not just a commercial, a legendary series of commercials. He was a pepper.
How do we drop the ball on this? Every year you sing Making It and all have a good time.
That's what I'm saying. I was going to get to the best part is, forget all those other achievements, also the star of the TV series, and sang the theme song too, Making It.
I'm solid gold. I've got the goods. They stand when I walk through the neighborhood. I'm making it.
Uh-huh.
Awesome. I've got the chance. I'm taking it.
Are you going to fake it?
No more. No more faking it. I got a new life. I'm making it.
Oh, come on. Everybody on the dance floor.
remember the year that David Naughton called in because everybody was telling him his phone was blowing up because we were all talking about
only
him?
The greatest day of my life, that's
that
all.
That was fun.
We got to talk to the Knot.
Don't even remember
that's
it.
That's right.
Of course you don't.
Hard to believe. It's like 3 or 4 years ago, I think, probably by now, right?
I do not remember. I drink much, not go fast.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
It was last week, I think last Wednesday, that Kevin and Bean were the special guests on the Adam Carolla podcast. It had to be the least downloaded podcast in AdamCarolla.com history, I would imagine, right?
I downloaded it 10 times just to pump up the numbers.
People loved it.
Well, I will tell you.
I haven't got the analytics yet, but I'll tell you next week.
Yeah,
I'll
just your gut, right?
I'll tell you the one thing that we both noticed, and I think I can speak for Bean on this, is that Adam does not need guests.
No, he doesn't.
Ever.
Adam is not afraid to do the heavy lifting when it comes to talking in an interview, that's for sure. But you are back on track, Ace Man, tonight with an actual star. The great David Alan Greer joins you on stage at the Irvine Improv with a live podcast. That's tonight at 8 o'clock. Tickets available just $25 through AdamCarolla.com. And I'm telling you what, David Alan Greer is funnier now than he's ever been. He has been killing it with his Teddy Pendergrass impressions and everything he's been doing lately on the podcast, Ace. He's on fire, man.
Yeah, he is unbelievable. And yeah, we're going to set him up with some nice Teddy Pendergrass songs tonight. So.
It's so awesome. So you get tickets for that through AdamCarolla.com, and don't miss Adam on stage at the Ice House in Pasadena coming up on Tuesday as well. The Ace Man joins us every week at this time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting at 3 and working my way to number 1. First, I'm glad we got this Dorner guy, or at least I think we did, but my problem is the guy's pictures.
What do you mean?
He is smiling ear to ear. Every single picture they take of this guy, I mean, every time they put one up on the television set, they do the, you know, they go to the archival file, they throw a picture of the guy, and the guy looks like Larry H. Parker, just won him $1 million. Really, like if you said, who is this guy? I'd go, that's probably taken from the Ravens Super Bowl parade, I guess.
Yeah, he always looks like he just won the lottery in every photo.
Right, and here's my new policy. I mean, it's sad, but it's harsh reality. When you graduate the police academy, the day you graduate, we need 3 pictures of you. Because you're a cop. There's a lot that can go down in your career.
Yes.
We need the fallen in the line of duty, you know, somber.
Right.
Peaceful, you know.
That's you in a uniform in front of an American flag, usually.
Right. We need the, we saved a cat from a burning building. It's basically same flag, same uniform, little grin on you.
Right.
And then we need the one on a killing rampage. Not our fault. You know what I mean?
I don't know that they're going to be lining up officers to take the win on a killing rampage.
They don't have a choice.
I see.
The
okay.
thing is, Kevin, you have 3 shots before you leave.
Sorry.
And then depending on what you do, we will release these accordingly.
You know, this is so interesting, Adam, that you bring this up, because this is kind of the reverse thing that I've always noticed, which is that somebody goes missing and they have a crappy Facebook photo from like 30 years ago is the only picture, and you see it on the news every single night. At least this guy had some current, well-lighted photos of him smiling. At least he thought he was doing the right thing until he went bad.
Right, but looking like the publisher's clearinghouse van just pulled up in front of your house is not, it's not the message we're trying to convey.
That's very true.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Number two, let's get to the State of the Union last night. Oh, my God. A couple things. We're really coming undone at the fabric as a country. Obama wants to raise the minimum wage. I don't have a problem with that. It's just when he gets into the example of a couple with a guy making minimum wage currently making $14,000 with two kids. Let me just stop for a second. We all have made minimum wage in our life, right?
Right.
We made it in the 10th grade, and then we graduated from McDonald's to Arby's and eventually worked my way up to carpet cleaning. But the point is this, I didn't have two kids. You can't have two kids when you're getting paid minimum wage. The problem isn't minimum wage. The problem is you're too GD dumb not to pull out. That's the problem. You're not supposed to be raising a kid making minimum wage. You're supposed to be in high school making minimum wage.
Yeah,
that's
you can,
not the problem.
You're
you can
right.
raise minimum wage, but the real problem is the kids. And by the way, guess who ain't paying their fair share? The guy who has two kids who's making minimum wage. Well, we all need to pay our fair share, but he's paying his fair share. He's not paying squat.
Yeah.
Why don't you focus on him? Oh, you don't want to because he's going to vote for you. Listen, the problem is not minimum wage. It's you having two kids while receiving minimum wage. And to speak to that, number one, and this makes my skin crawl, he then went on to mention, what makes you a man isn't the ability to conceive a child, it's having the courage to raise him.
He did say that in the speech last night. I heard that, yeah.
Courage to raise a kid? I didn't know it was courage. It's jumping over buses on a Harley. This is a requirement. You have to raise your kid. You had the kid. It's not courage. This is not daredevil business. It's like saying eating in an IHOP doesn't make you a man. It's having the courage to pay the bill. No, you have to pay the bill. You ordered the Johnny Cakes, remember? That was you. If you're not paying for it, then I got to pay for the pancake.
Yeah.
The courage to raise a kid? When do we turn raising a kid when was the bar raised this high on you raising? When did it become such a stretch? Such a crazy imaginary world that you hang around and raise your kid.
We did not realize how brave you were being, Adam, by taking care of those twins every day.
My dad's the biggest pussy in the world. He hung out.
Well, look, when you're running things, then guys like you get to do the response to the State of the Union instead of Mark Rubio last night.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
I love it.
I love the sandwich he's named after, but other than that, I've got no interest in the man. Yes, the courage to raise your kids, everybody.
AdamCarolla.com is where you go for all the podcasts, all the tickets. You can buy your Mangria. You can buy Adam's books and whatnot. It's all available right there for you. Have a great time with Dag tonight, man. We'll see you soon. Thanks for coming
on, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen. Let me finish what I'm eating. Sorry. Wrong time to eat.
That's not professional at all, Bear Mud.
Sorry.
All right. It is Wednesday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman joins us for a final look at the show biz beat. What's going on?
Babies. Babies are going on.
Babies are going on.
Yep. Jamie Lynn Sigler of The Sopranos is reportedly pregnant with her fiancé, Cutter Dykstra, who we did a little research, and it is Lenny's son.
Oh, is that right? Oh,
okay. Yeah, minor league ball player, apparently. Cutter.
Has the fetus been signed yet?
Cutter. Fetus has not yet been signed. The scouts want to take some further looks at it. Steve Martin is a new dad. Comedian Steve Martin, 67-year-old actor-comedian Steve Martin.
That's
a
shocker.
Dad. Yeah. His wife, Ann Stringfield, had their first baby
in
December.
It's a little bit surprising that he could get a woman pregnant, you know, playing all that banjo and everything. You think that would be automatic birth control? Like, who wants to get near that?
Yeah. Tell that to Mumford & Sons and their fans.
Yeah,
good
right.
point.
There's a lot of hot chicks at that breakfast with Marvin Sons.
Yes, there were.
They were enamored with the banjo.
Yes, they are.
And that one drum they play. They play that one
big
drum.
Big bass drum
they
that
like
he plays?
That drum. They're like stomping on
Marcus
that drum.
Plays?
Yeah. Penelope Cruz and Javier Bardem also having a baby together.
Wow.
And you would think it would creep her out that he takes his jaw out like that, takes his teeth out, his face is all sunken in from all that poison
Skyfall,
that he tried to
just,
take.
It was just in the movie.
It's just very
just
disturbing.
In the movie.
I didn't
not
think
like that
be able
real
to get
life.
Past that. And I can't imagine that smells
not,
good either.
Not real life.
It looks like he's a little emaciated there. Never mind. That's going on.
I saw Penelope's movie To Rome with Love recently, the Woody Allen film that she starred in.
To Rome with Love? I rented that once. It was
to
not
Rome.
What I,
to
oh,
Rome. To Rome. And it should be against the law for her to carry a child with that body. It really should. Like the I don't know if the Pope or whoever has to hand that down, but she should not be allowed to be pregnant.
It's the Pope. The Pope makes the decision who can get pregnant, who doesn't.
Unfair.
That's why Benedict split. He couldn't take the pressure.
Is that right? Too much?
Too much deciding. You know who I don't hope gets pregnant? No, I hope doesn't get pregnant, rather, is Rihanna.
Yeah.
She has confirmed to Rolling Stone magazine that she and Chris Brown are back together again.
Yeah, that's not good.
I decided it was more important for me to be happy, and I wasn't going to let anybody's opinion get in the way. Wow. Some women's they wants to believes.
That isn't good for you.
No, it isn't.
It's not like they're on a deserted island and he's the only choice for companionship she has.
And if it was a deserted island, I would choose a coconut.
Yeah.
Yeah. Better company. Do you hear about this woman who died at the age of 30 of cardiac arrest from coke? I know it's not a showbiz news story, but I just can't help reading about it. I'm fascinated by this story. 30-year-old woman in New Zealand would drink 10 liters of coke a day. 10 liters of Coca-Cola a day.
I thought you meant cocaine when you first
started. Oh, no. Anybody can die from 30 of cocaine.
Yeah.
Die from 30 of Coca-Cola. That's an accomplishment.
Wow.
They said
2.5 gallons a day.
Yeah. Twice the recommended safe limit of caffeine in her system. More than 11 times the recommended sugar intake.
Wow.
Family said she was addicted to it like a drug addict was addicted. She'd have withdrawal symptoms if she went without Coca-Cola.
I heard yesterday that she lost her teeth. Or
lost
most
all of her teeth.
All of them? Because
yes.
of the sugar,
of the
right?
Sugar. The
oh
sugar.
My God.
The decay in her teeth was so bad, she lost all of her teeth and developed cardiac arrhythmia. It's nuts.
That is crazy. I mean, that is just, my strange addiction. That's somebody who just can't live without something.
I thought snake venom guy was bad, but.
Wait till you hear about coffee enema couple.
What the what?
To hear about that tomorrow.
And America's Got Talent is shaping up for next season. They're putting their judges panel together. Howie Mandel and Howard Stern will both be back for next season. They've signed on. However, they're still looking for a replacement for Sharon Osbourne, who, as you may remember, famously quit the show. Because NBC pulled the plug on putting her son Jack in one of their reality shows, Stars with Stripes, because he has Parkinson's, I want to say? Or
I think so.
MS.
MS
maybe. Yeah. So they're still looking for somebody. Kevin, if you're interested, it'd be so great.
I'd be a great judge.
You would be.
You're going to Vegas, now you'll have know the show. Go.
I have a question for you, Kevin. Is there any job that we could bring up that you don't think you would excel at? And the reason I ask that is because you think you'd win Survivor.
Yeah.
You've told us many times that you'd be a great U.S. president.
Oh, yes. No question.
Right?
About
You've told us that. You've told us you could win NASCAR because you're that great a driver.
Right.
I could come in top 10 in NASCAR, sure.
Where's all this confidence coming from, my friend?
A deep black hole of insecurity would be my guess. I don't know. I would be a good president, though. Seriously.
It is kind of weird, though, to see you time after time, whatever we're talking about. Oh, yeah, I could totally do it. I could nail that. Are you kidding me?
Crush it. I'd be a great Navy SEAL. I'd be the best. I could fight MMA.
Oh, astronaut? Walk on the moon? Easy.
Nuclear physicist? Oh, those guys do numbers, stupid numbers all day.
I couldn't do that.
Numbers blow.
Look, I could invent stuff. Anyone could invent stuff. I just choose not to.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday. Stocker Channing. Remember her from Grease? She was Rizzo. And she went on to a very successful career in TV, film, and on stage. Famously, Jed Bartlett, the president's first lady on West Wing, 69.
That's the role she'll always be to me.
Yeah, she was terrific. 69 years old today. Jerry Springer, also 69. Henry Rollins of Black Flag turns 52. Kelly Hugh of The Vampire Diaries, 45 years old. Singer Robbie Williams is 39. Mina Suvari of American Beauty and American Pie fame is 34. Robbie Williams, did I mention him? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
39 years old. Feist! Feist!
1, 2, 3, 4 Tell me that you love me more. Sleepless, long nights, as with my youth was for. Oh, teenage hopes are right at your door.
Ah, it's a groovy too.
Leaves us for viewer cold.
Oh, that's a groovy tune.
Okay. Kevin, you could write a better song than that.
I can't write songs.
I know my limitations, guys. There just aren't many. I'm thinking of being groovy back, by the way.
How's groovy?
The sound? Yeah.
I like groovy.
I like groovy, too.
I don't know.
That's
good luck with that.
Groovy tune.
Daddy-o.
Daddy-o, you're not going to get back.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. We mentioned the couple addicted to coffee enemas tomorrow.
Yeah. Nope.
Decaf, though, right? Because you got to keep health in mind.
4 or 5 times a day.
Because drinking coffee just doesn't work.
That's
it's not
right.
an acceptable way to ingest coffee.
Did you hear what I said? 4 or 5 times a day.
That's a commitment.
Staff Sergeant Matthew Blankenship, we have on. He is on a TV show called Inside Combat Rescue.
Ooh.
One of the dudes that rescues people in Afghanistan.
That's tough.
That is tough.
Could do that.
I couldn't.
I could still be a good rescuer of military dudes.
I would not be a good rescuer. We have a guy who grows weed.
I could do that.
For a living. That I could do.
I could grow weed.
You know, Bean...
for Leonardo DiCaprio.
You know how Bean has to go to certain restaurants on certain days?
Yeah,
on Tuesdays, it's IHOP. On Thursdays, it's Denny's or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to take calls from his fellow crazies. You can't vary from your routine. You have a routine. It's set.
Yeah.
If things
there's
get thrown...
There's nothing crazy about being organized and having a schedule and staying on time. There's nothing crazy about that.
Right. But if, for some reason, you can't go to IHOP on Tuesday, you lose it.
Yeah.
Well, there's no reason
that
to not
you
go
lose
to IHOP
it
on Tuesday.
Is the crazy part.
It's called Asperger's.
Yeah.
It's called the Rain Men.
So we're going to talk to people that have that
Uh-oh.
Particular problem.
Oh, Tuesday IHOP.
We also have a brand new internet roundup for you. And Ken Marino, funny actor Ken Marino, will be in the studio talking about Burning Love 2. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.